This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, folks, there's a big lie that we in the United States keep telling ourselves. It's particularly true on the right, but it's true across the board. And that lie is that we want our government to be fiscally responsible in some way, shape, or form. That is clearly a lie because we keep electing politicians to not be fiscally responsible in any way, shape, or form. Regardless of who runs the government, the spending keeps going in one direction, and that direction is up. There's a reason we are running a $34 trillion national debt at this point in time, and it is likely that that debt is going to continue to accrue because nobody takes this problem particularly seriously. And they're not going to take that problem seriously until we run smack into a wall. That is how typically fiscal crises work. Countries spend too much money. They're unable to rein it back in because there are too many people who become dependent on that spending of the money. And then instead of creating some sort of plan to get out of debt, people just keep running up those debts, keep running up those deficits until the time comes that you have to take extremely harsh remediating action. That is the high likelihood here. Why do I say this? Well, because yesterday the House Republicans as well as the House Democrats passed overwhelmingly yet another continuing resolution. And this is the way we now fund the government because we're not able to actually have serious negotiations on department by department level with regard to spending. We're not able to negotiate over how much should be spent on defense or how much should be spent on education. Instead, we sort of wrap everything up into a ball. And then when we can't get approval on a giant year-long budget, then we go to continuing resolutions, which are these short-form budgets that continue the government spending. And, you know, we just kind of keep the train running. And the train will run until the train runs completely off those tracks. According to the Wall Street Journal, Congress cleared legislation extending government funding into March, a step that ensures that federal workers will remain on the job, but does nothing to alleviate underlying political pressures stemming from high U.S. debt levels, record crossings at the southern border, and an enduring war in Ukraine. The Senate passed that measure 77-18, followed by House approval 314-108. Because again, the easiest thing in Congress is to get lost in a crowd. The easiest thing in Congress is to simply side with an overwhelming majority of people who say, status quo, let's just keep doing what it is that we are doing right now. The two votes sent the measure to President Biden's desk with time to spare ahead of a weekend deadline. In a replay of recent votes that underscore the fragility of the GOP majority, according to the Wall Street Journal, House Speaker Mike Johnson relied heavily on Democrats to bring that continuing resolution across the finish line. In fact, there was a fraught moment when it seemed as though there would not be a majority of Republicans in favor of the continuing resolution. As it turns out, he was able to get 107 Republicans to vote for as opposed to 106 against. House internal Republican rules prevent any Republican from moving forward with a bill that does not have at least the support of a majority of Republicans. And so it came very close to the wire on this particular bill. Chip Roy, Republican from Texas, who does in fact take spending seriously, he was blasting everybody right, left, and center about not only the spending, but the fact that nobody in Congress seems to want to solve serious problems anymore.
My colleagues on the other side of the aisle have no problem with wide open borders endangering the people that I represent. None. And my constituents are the ones left holding the bag, and the people of Texas are the ones left spending $12.5 billion. And my people are the ones who have six kids die from fentanyl poisoning in the school district that I represent. Yeah, it's not fun to smirk at that, is it, when we're talking about dead children from fentanyl poisoning because of wide open borders, because of the policies of my Democrat colleagues who refuse to do anything about it. Not a thing. Not a thing do my colleagues do about the wide open borders. And I will continue to speak to my colleagues because
this will be in order. The gentleman will address his comments to the chair.
Well, Madam Speaker, I am addressing my comments to the chair.
The House will be in order.
I'm addressing the chair on behalf of the people that I represent who are dying in Texas because of Democrats.
No.
Directly because of Democrat policies.
Representative Roy then added, it doesn't matter who's sitting in the speaker seat or who has the majority, we keep doing the same stupid stuff, which requires us to ask a pretty simple question. Why is it that we keep doing the same stupid stuff? Is that a matter of not having the right people in power, or is it just that the American people refuse to recognize the reality about themselves, which is that we constantly say that we want to balance the budget, we constantly say we want to spend less money, and then, as soon as there is a poll asking what we would like to cut, we all run for the hills, and we have no idea what it is that we would like to cut. The reason being that it's very easy to say broad things about cutting on pork barrel projects here and there. And sure, you can cut a post office in West Virginia. And sure, you can get rid of a bridge to nowhere in Alaska. That is not going to touch the structural entitlement programs that millions and millions of Americans have become dependent upon and who are now unwilling to give that up. All the third rails of American politics now form an extraordinary spider web of third rails that no one can touch under any circumstances, which is why you have seen candidates of both major parties basically decide they are no longer going to talk about the single biggest problem facing the United States in future decades, and that is the spending problem. Donald Trump has vowed he is not going to touch that spending problem, by the way. Donald Trump, in fact, has campaigned from the left against fellow conservatives in the Republican Party. He has said that if you talk about restructuring entitlement programs, this makes you a liberal. Now, again, that makes no sense on the face of it, but it's been an effective pitch. Why? Because, again, as it turns out, many Americans actually don't want to talk about these things. They would prefer to leave that bogeyman in the closet rather than open it up and simply deal with it. This is why it frustrates me when you see all of this talk about Speaker Mike Johnson. Well, let's just oust him. Let's just get rid of Speaker Mike Johnson over something like the continuing resolution. Okay, I suppose you can do that. And then who will it be? You already did this routine with Kevin McCarthy. You already dumped Kevin McCarthy over. Matt Gaetz did this, suggesting that Kevin McCarthy had given in too much to the Democrats, despite the fact that the deal that McCarthy was trying to cut was significantly more conservative than the one that actually ended up being cut. And then they put in place Mike Johnson, who, again, fine guy, good conservative, but is facing the same exact structural problems that Kevin McCarthy was facing in the first place. Here is the reality. In order for any serious major change to get done, you're going to have a unified party control over Congress, over the Senate, over the presidency, and a dedication by that party to take the hit, to take the hit. Democrats take the hits, by the way. This is something that Democrats are good at. Democrats took the hit in 2010. In 2010, they passed Obamacare. And then they got shellacked at the polls. It was a very, very bad midterm for them. And they took the hit because they knew that if they could completely restructure the healthcare system, that in the end, these would become entitlements that people relied upon. They would rather take the short-term hit for the long-term gain. When was the last time Republicans took a short-term hit for the long-term gain? When was the last time they passed something other than, say, a tax cut that actually fundamentally restructured how finances work in this country? And the answer is they don't. And the reason they don't is because they're afraid they will be tossed out of office. And maybe that's just a structural imbalance in the way that the two parties work. It's very easy to get reelected suggesting you're going to spend more money that doesn't exist. And it's very hard to get reelected suggesting that you're going to cut money from the federal budget, especially from a bunch of people who say that they need that money in the first place. But this is why it's a point of high irritation when people suggest that it's just that Johnson is a bad guy or something. The people who are telling you that sort of thing, the people who are telling you that it's Johnson's fault this continuing resolution got passed, that if only he had shut down the government, more government shutdowns. Okay, we've done multiple government shutdowns in the past few years. Has that changed the trajectory of the spending in any real significant way? The answer, of course, is no. The people who are on the air right now telling you that the continuing resolution should have been pushed aside in favor of something harsher, in favor of a government shutdown, in favor of a harder bargaining position with Joe Biden, those people are fibbing to you about the incentive structure. The incentive structure is what the incentive structure is. And unless you have a unified Republican control of the House, the Senate, and the presidency, you're not going to get the kind of spending cuts that make it worthwhile for you to risk your seat. Because I'll tell you what happens. You do a government shutdown, you're going to end up passing a continuing resolution anyway, and a bunch more people are going to lose their seats. We'll get to more on this in just one second. First.
Hey, everyone. This is Daily Wire editor-in-chief John Bickley with Georgia Howe. We co-host Morning Wire, the daily news podcast created to bring more balance to the national conversation.
We give you the news you need to know in 15 minutes or less without the mainstream spin.
Join us and get the facts first with a new episode every morning.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Daily Wire Plus, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
So Johnson is taking all sorts of heat over this, again, from members of the right-wing press. Is it really going to do him any damage in the long run? I think not, but it just underscores, again, the central problem in American life. Politicians make a living by lying to you. And you have a choice. Your choice is whether you like being lied to, and so you decide to go along with their lies, or whether you don't like being lied to. Any politician who says he can save you, save your family, save your society by spending money here or by restructuring a program there is lying to you. The vast majority of choices in your life are up to you. And when people rely on politicians too much, they end up shooting themselves in the foot. And then they buy into the next grifter who comes along and suggests that he's going to fix whatever problems are at hand. Now, speaking of grifters, the situation on the border continues to be a full-scale disaster area. In fact, fascinating piece from the New York Post. This has been suggested to me, by the way, by friends over at Border Patrol as well. The numbers of border encounters are dropping fairly significantly since the beginning of the year. This raises a question. Why is that happening? We recently went down to the border at the very, very beginning of the year, and the end of December had been like a high watermark in terms of number of migrant encounters at the border. We're talking hundreds of thousands of people in 1 month alone. And then, beginning of January, you saw kind of not so much. One of the theories that was floated by Border Patrol was that basically Joe Biden had cut a deal with Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador, who is the leader, AMLO, the leader of Mexico, to basically cut down on the illegal immigration in an election year. And now this is being pretty openly suggested by Todd Benzman over at the New York Post. Quote, just in time for election year, border crossings have plummeted, a sign that Joe Biden has struck a secret deal with the Mexican president to help his campaign. Again, this would not be the biggest shock in the world. Remember, Barack Obama did this with Dmitry Medvedev in 2012. He literally sat next to him and said, tell Vladimir I will have more flexibility after the election. Remember, when Donald Trump tells a foreign country he wants them to do something for electoral purposes, that's impeachable. When Barack Obama does it in the middle of an election cycle, that's just politics. Apparently, according to the New York Post, daily Border Patrol encounters of illegal immigrants cross government data confidentially shared with me, it has dropped to a still managerially catastrophic 4,000 to 5,000 per day. Why exactly is that happening? Well, there are a bunch of Biden administration diplomatic missions to Mexico City over Christmas. Mexican media, in fact, has been reporting what was said. Here is some of the news. Quote, Mexican law enforcement officials are rounding up immigrants in the country's north and shipping them by bus and airplane to southern cities like Tapachula in Chiapas State and Villahermosa in Tabasco State. They're all expected to go home or stay put alongside those continuing to enter from Guatemala. And then another story. To eliminate another obvious draw, Mexican authorities have emptied and then bulldozed at least one long-standing migrant camp, the sprawling one in Matamoros, across the Rio Grande from Brownsville, and dug deep anti-pedestrian trenches to further deny access to popular crossings there. It was done under U.S. pressure, according to one Mexican newspaper. So apparently, it sounds very much as though Mexico is doing Joe Biden a favor. In fact, according to Mexican media, this is part of a broader agreement signed by Mexico's Immigration Service and Border Patrol member of the Trump administration. If you're an intern in the West Wing and they dig up an old racist tweet of yours and blast it out on the front page of the New York Times, that's speaking truth to power. Got it. Or alternatively, you guys are unbelievably full of crap and you have decided that the best way to ruin people is to go after everything they said 15, 20, 30 years ago. It's to go around digging up what Mitt Romney said back in 1960 while he was giving a kid a haircut and then use that to destroy his life. But if we ask about tweets that your executive editors were sending 5 years ago, then that's extraordinarily bad. Now, the real solution to all of this is everybody just goes, okay, fine. People said bad stuff. They either agree with it or disagree with it. They either apologize for it or don't. We all move on with our lives. But that is not the standard that the media have set up. And the New York Times is very upset about this because they know what's coming. They know that they can't live by their own standard. And good for Arthur Schwartz. Good for the people on the right who are doing this. And frankly, it's about damn time. It's past time.
Coming up, we'll talk about how President Trump can remain consistent with his tariff policies, because he seems to be a little bit inconsistent. Does he like tariffs or does he not like tariffs? Or is this all just a bargaining gambit? This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Life insurance quotes from top companies and find your lowest price. Their licensed agents work for you, not the insurance companies, which means you can trust their guidance because they don't have an incentive to recommend one insurer over another. There are no added fees. Your personal information is kept private. As in, my wife and I have life insurance. It's deeply necessary. Everybody who's a responsible adult should have life insurance in case, God forbid, you're walking down the street, a truck sideswipes you, and as you're lying in the street bleeding, you're thinking to yourself, man, I wish my family were taken care of financially. At least you have that if you have life insurance. It is super satisfying to check life insurance off that to-do list. A good life insurance plan can give you peace of mind that if something happens to you, your family will be able to cover mortgage payments, college costs, or other expenses. Life insurance through your workplace might not offer enough protection for your family's needs. It's not going to follow you if you leave your job. Since life insurance gets more expensive as you age, now would be the time to buy. With Policy Genius, you can find a life insurance policy starting just $292 per year for $1 million in coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid those unnecessary medical exams. Save time and money. Give your family a financial safety net with Policy Genius. Head over to PolicyGenius.com. Get your free life insurance quotes. See how much you could save. That's PolicyGenius.com. Already coming up, Joe Biden is beginning to cave on immigration as well. He should. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
When it comes to dinner, you're looking for tasty, flavor, ample portions, choices, and great value in a cozy, clean, family-friendly environment. Guests tell us our home-style dinners deliver on all counts. Whether you choose chicken fried steak, house-made meatloaf, roasted turkey, or slow-cooked pot roast, you'll be full and satisfied in the best way possible. So make Black Bear Diner your January comfort dinner destination. Open daily at 2605 Hilltop Drive, Reading.
Black Bear Diner.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Reading, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson. And find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Reading School of the Arts presents Disney's The Little Mermaid Jr. at the historic Cascade Theater, January 18th to 21st. This 60-minute musical is full of the songs you know and love from the animated film and the Broadway production. This production by Reading School of the Arts is the only of its kind. Students at the heart of the show, come support students in the arts and prepare to be entertained at the guilds.
Tickets available now at CascadeTheater.org. That's Cascade, T-H-E-A-T-R-E.org. This production of The Little Mermaid Jr. is presented with special permission by Music Theater International.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. It is about time that Joe Biden caved on immigration, and actually he's beginning to. So why exactly wouldn't he go ahead and simply cave on immigration? Well, the answer is he's now starting to. Now he's finally starting to see political reality, which actually, by the way, for the country is a good thing. You want President Biden to govern a lot more from the middle than he has thus far. According to the Wall Street Journal, an immigration deal being crafted in the Senate would limit migrants' ability to claim asylum at the southern border, a White House concession some progressives say shows that President Biden's leftward shift on immigration as a 2020 candidate was a blip in his long political career. This, of course, would be paired for new war aid for Ukraine, for Israel, for Taiwan. House Speaker Mike Johnson said after a meeting with Joe Biden on Wednesday at the White House, said we talk about the necessary elements to solve this problem. He said that would require reform to the broken asylum and parole systems. Parole is basically where Joe Biden simply declares that a bunch of people who are in the country illegally have been paroled and can thus wander the country freely. They haven't been amnestied, but it's fine. And as far as asylum, the current asylum system is you come to the country, you claim, just wave your hand. You say, I fear to go home to my home country. They release you into the country within 72 hours and you're gone. Republicans would like remain in Mexico. Biden is not giving them remain in Mexico so far. This is what they should push for, by the way. Republicans should push for remain in Mexico as national immigration policy. However, Joe Biden is, in fact, moving at this point. He's moving again because the poll numbers for him are dire. 68% of those surveyed in a CBS News poll say they disapprove of his border policies. So he is now moving and shifting on this particular issue. Biden, apparently, again, he doesn't want remain in Mexico because he's afraid that if he says remain in Mexico, then that will give something for Trump to run on, which is weird. And I said, that's bad logic. If he did remain in Mexico, he would have to admit that Trump was right in the first place. But also, he would say that he got it right now. So what exactly is the major issue? Apparently, the president was originally influenced by, wait for it, First Lady Dr. Jill Biden. It was originally Dr. Jill Biden who pushed him to the left on immigration because she was very upset with family separations and remain in Mexico. She had visited a tent of migrants living just across the southern border in Matamoros, one of the most dangerous cities in Mexico. So he got rid of remain in Mexico and all the rest. But now it looks as though he's going to have to bring back some of this stuff. He's still uncomfortable with bringing back any form of remain in Mexico, according to the Wall Street Journal. But advisors are bringing him numerous ideas on ways to run that program that give priority to migrants' safety. So maybe he'll bring back remain in Mexico, which, by the way, according to my friends in Border Patrol, would be the single biggest change he could make that would actually shut down mass migration to the border. In fact, he's being pushed to his right even by Democrats. According to the Daily Wire, 14 House Democrats voted to denounce the Biden administration's open borders policies on Wednesday. The group of party defectors joined with all voting Republicans in passing a resolution introduced by Representative Nathaniel Moran, Republican of Texas. 12 Democrats and 9 Republicans did not vote. In addition to denouncing Joe Biden's border policies, the resolution condemned the national security and public safety crisis along the southwest border. So it'll be interesting to see what exactly happens here. Donald Trump, for his part, is doing something somewhat strange. Trump has been suggesting that perhaps Republicans should not cut any deal with Joe Biden on immigration whatsoever. Because if they cut a deal, then presumably he's going to be able to tout that he's more moderate on immigration than he has heretofore been. But honestly, that is not the way the congressional politics typically ought to work. If you can get a big concession out of a Democratic president, you do it. And Trump can still run on it. I mean, one thing that you're not going to see Biden run on is mass deportations. That's exactly what Trump is running on. Here he was yesterday.
But there are also people the countries don't want. They're not sending their best people over. You know, these guys are smart. I know them, the presidents, the dictators, the prime ministers. Some of them call themselves prime ministers. But they're very smart people. And they're not sending their hard workers. And you get a lot of people coming into our country that we're not going to want. We don't want. And we're going to have the largest deportation in the history of this country.
Trump is not going to get outflanked by Biden on immigration policy. So congressional Republicans ought to very seriously push Joe Biden as far as they can and then take a win. It is good to take wins from Joe Biden. I understand that we now live in a weird universe in which somehow prying giant concessions out of Joe Biden is considered a loss of some sort. But that's not how this works. The Inflation Reduction Act was a loss because you got zero concessions out of Joe Biden on the Inflation Reduction Act. You could have just killed that one outright. But on this one, Republicans actually do, by and large, want Israel aid. Republicans are split fairly down the middle on Ukraine aid. They do want more aid for Taiwan, and they certainly want more border security measures. And you get what you can get, because frankly, there's no guarantee that Donald Trump is going to be president come January 2025 anyway. You got to get what's on the table. The fact that Mike Johnson and the Republicans have maneuvered Joe Biden into a bad immigration position is good for them. And if they can get a big concession out of that, they absolutely should. All right, coming up, Democrats are now so desperate to defeat Donald Trump, they are talking about his hands. Yep, that's a thing. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risks to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Classical music lovers, listen up. Internationally known piano player Olga Popolova is presenting a concert called The Not-So-Invisible World of Female Composers, featuring the works of Cecile Chaminade, Clara Schumann, Florence Price, and many others, Wednesday, January 24th at St. James Church in Reading. Ms. Popolova is performing this benefit concert to show her appreciation to our community who warmly received her family fleeing the Russian-Ukrainian war. Proceeds from the $20 tickets will benefit the Foundation for Performing Arts Education and Reading Piano Angels. Student tickets are $10. Pay at the door or go online to readingpianoangels.com. Olga Popolova is the principal pianist for the Sao Paulo Symphonic Orchestra in Brazil. This one-night-only performance at 7 p.m. Wednesday, January 24th at St. James Lutheran Church on Shastaview Drive in Reading. World-class classical piano for a good cause. Wednesday, January 24th at St. James Church. Get tickets at the door or go online to readingpianoangels.com.
Hey, what's going on in Redding, California? This is Tony Horrod with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Be sure and tune in to KCNR on your radio dial Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Living in the North State. Together with my three amazing co-hosts, Rich Howe, Bill Woodford, and Mindy Cochran, we'll be interviewing professionals in the industry and taking your calls to answer all your questions and have a great time doing so. Talk to you then, Redding.
25.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. It is pretty amazing that Democrats are now being relegated to talking about Donald Trump's hands. So day before yesterday, Donald Trump was spotted coming out of a New York courthouse, and he was raising his hand, and he was waving to the cameras, and he appears to have some sort of strange wounds on his hand, red markings on his hand. And this led to widespread speculation on the left about why Donald Trump had these things on his hands. Here was Morning Joe suggesting that maybe it's because he was acting like a baby and banging a table.
Do we have any answer on what's on Donald Trump's? Like, Donald Trump has his hands are bleeding. Looks like he has
a sore.
Is
that magic marker?
No, is it magic marker? Because it looks like he has a sore on his index finger there.
It looks like a cut. I mean, that's blood, isn't it? I don't want to speculate. I don't know. But was there anything that happened inside the courtroom yesterday, Lisa?
There was. You know, there was a point in time during the day where Trump, very frustrated with Judge Kaplan, banged his hands down on the table. I doubt that the blisters or marks that were seen there come from that, but could they be exacerbated by that? Perhaps.
Oh my gosh, here we go. By the way, that is actually the least stupid explanation given by Democrats. And then James Carville comes out and says maybe it's syphilis. Ah, these people.
If you go to the Drudge Report, and I think it'll still be up, there's a story that talks about Trump having hand cuts, and you can link to it. They don't look like cuts to me. They look like sores. And I've asked a number of MDs what medical condition manifests itself through hand sores, and the answer is immediate and unanimous. Secondary syphilis. All right. I think there's a good chance this man has the clap. And I'm not being particularly secretive about it. I am texting the photo. You can link to it. It's in some operation called a Daily Mail. It's some British thing. It's probably a Fleet Street rag, but you know, maybe the picture was doctored or whatever, but maybe this story will go somewhere. Maybe it won't, but I'm telling you, at 1 o'clock Eastern, I'm humping this thing like a young dog on old furniture.
These people are ridiculous. I'm sorry. They're totally ridiculous. By the way, my most plausible explanation is that Donald Trump was maybe smoking a cigar and burned himself. Those look like burns, by the way. They don't look actually like syphilis sores. Just for the record, I did ask my MD wife doctor what she thought it was, and she said definitely not syphilis, because syphilis is a marking that is smaller and generally all over the hand, not in like a particular area of the hand this way, is my understanding. I could be getting that wrong, but the bottom line is that when you're speculating over the marks on Donald Trump's hand as opposed to, you know, Joe Biden's terrible global policy, Joe Biden is running an uphill battle. That's why he ought to be giving ground on the immigration issue. As far as Donald Trump's legal cases, again, it seems to me at this point, you know, this is a weird out-of-the-box call. I just don't think they're going to amount to much. I think after all this hubbub, it's going to be like pretty much everything else with regard to Donald Trump. That every single time they think they got him, they don't got him. Every single time they think they have him captured with a butterfly net, there's a giant hole in the butterfly net. That is the latest out of Georgia, where according to the Wall Street Journal, Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis is now seeking to avoid being deposed in the divorce proceeding of a colleague she's accused of having an affair with, calling a recent subpoena for her testimony a form of harassment meant to derail her criminal case against former President Donald Trump. You'll recall this bizarre case in which, apparently, Fannie Willis hired a dude to be the lead prosecutor in this case, who has barely any prosecutorial experience. He is in the middle of a divorce case, and apparently, she paid him hundreds of thousands of dollars in state money, and they were jet-setting around the world and going on cruises together with that money. In a Thursday court filing, Willis did not address whether she had a romantic relationship with Wade. Instead, it said that because the parties agreed the marriage is irretrievably broken and the concept of fault is not at issue, there's no information District Attorney Willis could provide that might prove relevant to granting or denying the divorce. So she is trying to avoid having to testify in that particular case. Now, does that mean that there won't be any more shoes to drop on this? I highly doubt it. I would assume there will be a bunch of motions from Team Trump, there already have been, pointing out this particular allegation. And that is going to hurt that case pretty badly. Meanwhile, Donald Trump is still in court with regard to this E. Jean Carroll defamation suit. The reason I say that's not going to damage him is because he already had one E. Jean Carroll defamation suit and it didn't damage him. So what exactly is the damage going to be now? Either believe the lady or you don't. I have serious doubts about E. Jean Carroll's allegations here. She testifies that she was in a Bergman, like, I don't know, 25 years ago. Can't name the date, can't name the season, can't name the month. and that she was raped in a dressing room with no one hearing her, not school, like nothing. When she wrote about this experience, by the way, later, she suggested she had to be talked into the fact that it was a rape by her friend. In any case, Donald Trump is out ripping on the judge. You just get the feeling, as I said earlier this week, Donald Trump's legal foibles at this point are just tinnitus. They're just a ringing in the background in your ear, and eventually they become part of the white noise of life.
You can go to the funeral or you can go to the trial, but you can't do both. I thought it was terrible. I thought it was terrible. So he would rather have me miss the funeral or go to the funeral, miss the trial. And that's a nasty man. He's a nasty judge. He's a Trump-hating guy. And it's obvious to everybody in the court. It's a disgrace, frankly, what's happening. It's a disgrace.
I do love Donald Trump's use of the word nasty. He's bringing it back in his original sense, which I kind of appreciate. Again, is any of this going to have any market impact on Trump's campaign? I think not. There are things that could theoretically have an impact on Trump's campaign, like, for example, him being in the news every day. But it would have to be something that's not already part of the background information of our lives. And that is very difficult to do with Donald Trump. I've said this since 2015. Donald Trump is a giant mud monster. And the more mud you throw at him, the more he just looks like a giant mud monster. Joe Biden, that dude was supposed to be good at this, and he is not good at this. And it's a very, very real problem. Now, meanwhile, the foreign affairs of the United States are in serious trouble. If you take a look at the Middle East, obviously, they continue to be in very serious trouble. Pakistan is now apparently striking inside Iran. So it turns out that when you don't contain Iran, Iran lashes out at pretty much everybody. According to the Wall Street Journal, Iran's military tested and found a limit to its ability to project power this week as Pakistan responded to a missile attack with the first publicly acknowledged airstrike on Iranian territory in decades. The Pakistani retaliation followed Iran's first direct attacks in neighboring countries since Israel's war with Hamas in Gaza began in October. So now you have Pakistan, which is an ally of Saudi Arabia, firing at Iran. If Iran firing at Pakistan, you have continuing rocket fire from Iran-backed Hamas into Israel. You have rocket fire from Iran-backed Hezbollah into Israel. You have rocket fire from Iran-backed Houthis at shipping in the Red Sea. And Joe Biden still has no plan for any of this. In fact, it seems like the only sort of plans that are emerging are sporadic strikes on opposing positions that don't seem to be achieving anything like their purpose, and pressure on the Israelis to stop doing what they are doing. That seems like the plan. But guess what? The Israelis are not going to stop because there's widespread support inside Israel to take out Hamas, as there should be. In fact, in breaking news, 21 more hostages, their bodies were just found. Hamas had murdered them. So, again, all of this is just going to continue because the Biden administration doesn't actually have any sort of plan for what a realistic Middle East looks like. There's a lot of talk today about Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu talking about the idea that Israel ought to maintain territorial sovereignty over the entire area from the Mediterranean Sea to the Jordan River in order to maintain security. If anyone else has any options, I'm sure people would love to hear them. No other options have been provided. And every time Joe Biden and his team suggest that Israel ought to hand over land and concessions to terrorist groups, all they are doing is fomenting what Iran wants. The reality is that terrorism is not motivated by poverty and despair. Terrorism is motivated by hope. Hope that the other side will be weak enough to leave you alone, to leave you living after you have committed some of the worst atrocities known to man. It is totally insane that the Biden administration continues to pressure exactly the wrong side on this sort of thing. Now, I will say the Biden administration has provided the military aid so far necessary for Israel to continue its war against Hamas. That is true. But rhetorically speaking, it does make a rather large difference when you keep signaling to terrorists of Hamas that all they have to do is stay alive long enough and eventually they will get what they want, which is, namely, to be left alone, survival, so they can continue to plan attacks and murder Jews in the future. It also doesn't help when you have dolts like Bernie Sanders doing this routine. Bernie Sanders yesterday suggested that Israel is going to war with the entire Palestinian people, which is a weird take considering, again, that Israel has now sacrificed about 200 of its own men and women in an area where they have complete air superiority and don't need to sacrifice literally any of those men or women in that area in order to protect Palestinian civilians. Here's Bernie Sanders being a tool, because he is.
My view from day one, Chris, has been that Israel has the right to respond to Hamas's barbaric attack on October 7th, but they do not have the right to go to war against the entire Palestinian people, which is what we are seeing right now. And as you've just mentioned, the humanitarian situation in Gaza now is unbelievably bad, and we're looking at the possibility of hundreds of thousands of children starving. We cannot allow that to happen.
Israel is currently attempting to ship in more aid, and there is no one on the other end to pick up the aid. Hamas is picking up the aid, and they are stealing the aid. And the world is going to continue to be an incredibly fragile place because of Joe Biden. Weirdly, though, there is this coterie of people who exist at the top of society, in our global institutions, who believe that they are doing a good job and that the true threat to international security is Donald Trump. We'll get to more on that in just a second, but first.
I'm Scott, the owner of Solid Fire Pits. When I began welding my custom-made fire pits for friends and family, I shared them on TikTok because I was just so proud of them.
Check it out. That's beautiful.
I posted every new fire pit design, and more people kept ordering, from 26 states and counting. Then on my birthday, I had my best sales ever. Now how can the universe beat that?
Solid Fire Pits is just one of the 5 million U.S. businesses that rely on TikTok every day. TikTok sparks business.
All right, coming up, the folks at the World Economic Forum have a peculiar idea of how the world should work. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website, havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday Mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Do you or someone you love struggle with PTSD, anxiety, depression, insomnia, OCD, alcoholism, substance abuse disorder, autism, ADHD, brain fog, or traumatic brain injury? At Shasta Meadows Wellness Center, Dr. Taggart and his team offer safe, proven, and effective care, even for those resistant to typical medicine. Learn more about Shasta Meadows Wellness Center. They have IV ketamine or at-home oral ketamine. Ask about the state-of-the-art EEG-guided TMS therapy. This customized, safe, no-side-effect option is effective on a wide range of difficult-to-treat conditions. Visit us today at ShastaMeadowsWellness.com. Don't just get by. Get well.
Call to make an appointment for a free consultation. 530-444-8304. 530-444-8304. Shasta Meadows Wellness Center in Reading.
Riverfront Playhouse presents The Last 5 Years. Written and composed by Jason Robert Brown. Directed by Lauren Stanfield with musical director Cheyenne Hara. This musical chronicles the 5-year relationship of a couple with a unique narrative perspective of each character revealing their experiences in opposite chronological order. Tickets available at riverfrontplayhouse.net. Enjoy the score, Reading, and At the Door. The Last 5 Years. January 26th through February 11th at the Riverfront Playhouse. Sponsored by this station and other amazing sponsors.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
Hey, Shea, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
LLS.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the World Economic Forum continues to be a group of terrible people who want outsized power. They are very afraid of Donald Trump. So Joe Biden has basically set the world on fire because it turns out that the pseudo-sophisticate take on foreign policy, which is basically that you can wish cast peace into existence, it's false. It's not true. And so what they're mostly afraid of now is that people will expose their stupidity to the public view, which is something that Donald Trump tended to do with actually a shocking amount of alacrity during his first term in office. And he would constantly sort of do away with silly shibboleths that had been spoken by the foreign policy elite. He would break those idiocies on the wheel of reality, and they've been very upset ever since that he did that, and so they don't want him back. This presumably is why they continue to maintain lie after lie with regard to international politics. So over at the Continuing World Economic Forum over at Davos, various dolts, large and small, continue to maintain that Donald Trump is the truest threat to the world order. A woman named Vera Jourova, she suggests that the biggest problem that we are about to face is disinformation, because disinformation, of course, might mean that Donald Trump gets elected.
Disinformation is a security threat. And maybe not many noticed, but it was part of the Russian military doctrine that they will start information war, and we are in it now. And disinformation is a very powerful tool. So how we think about it in the EU, we are focusing on improving of the system where the people will get the facts right. We don't speak about opinions. We are not correcting anyone's opinions or language. Yeah, this is about the facts.
Yeah, except I don't trust you to be able to distinguish between opinion and fact. That was the VP of the European Commission. Meanwhile, the World Bank president continues to speak factual falsehoods, like we can't eradicate poverty without solving climate change, which was weird since we've done a pretty damned good job over the course of the last 45 years on this planet in eradicating extreme poverty, not only without solving climate change, but according to you guys, by exacerbating climate change, because it turns out that carbon-based fossil fuels are one of the great sources of human wealth ever devised.
And so merely saying that I've got a new way of thinking about things or announcing policy pronouncements will not change the reality of what we face on the ground every day. What we have is an existential climate crisis. We cannot think of eradicating poverty without caring about climate. We cannot think about eradicating poverty without caring about health care. We cannot think about eradicating poverty without caring about food insecurity and fragility. These are, if you don't like it, tough luck.
Yeah, well, I mean, what if I don't think that you're right? What if I think that you're just speaking nonsense and spouting nonsense? What if I think that, in fact, this is a global guise for propping up bad regimes, that very often the climate change talk is about degrading some of the most productive regimes in the history of mankind, namely places like the United States and Europe, in favor of significantly less productive regimes that are looking for subsidies and handouts? That's precisely what is going on with China, by the way. According to the Wall Street Journal, China is now doubling down on manufacturing to reboot its economy after a turbulent year. The push for new growth drivers comes as figures showed the world's second largest economy expanded in 2023 at its weakest rate in decades. What exactly are they going to do? Apparently, they want to dominate global markets in emerging industries like electric vehicles, batteries, and renewable energy gear. So they want the United States and the EU to subsidize a bunch of green energy boondoggles where the money eventually ends up in China. They require the subsidies. Those are the places where they're going to earn their money. The hope is that growth in what Chinese officials refer to as the new three industries and other favorite sectors will help China's economy banish the specters of deflation and Japan-style stagnation as a real estate crunch weighs heavily on construction investment and consumer confidence. Longer term, Beijing wants these and other high-tech manufacturing industries to be in the vanguard of its push to eventually unseat the United States as the world's largest economy. Well, that's not going to happen. And the reason it's not going to happen is because they're not actually targeting efficient sectors of the market for growth. Instead, what they are doing is finding places that require government subsidization and redistribution in order to have everybody pay them. It's offshore, all of that. Well, good luck to them. But again, this is about global financial restructuring, and the people of the WF know that, and Trump is a threat to that because he actually does like America, as opposed to many of these other people who seem to have a peculiar global utopia in mind that they wish to pursue. Speaking of people pursuing a global socialist utopia, over in Canada, what the hell happened to Canada? The targeting of my friend Jordan Peterson continues apace. This is an insane story. So Jordan, for those who actually don't know Jordan Peterson's history, probably the most famous psychologist on planet Earth, one of the most famous public intellectuals on the planet, Jordan was basically obscure, or at least semi-obscure, in 2014, 2015. Then Bill C-16 arose in Ontario. It was a bill that was explicitly designed to shut down speech with regard to trans issues. Now, you might fall under the threat of punishment if you said that a boy is not a girl, for example. And Jordan spoke up about this, and he spoke loudly about this, and he became a national figure because of this. And then he ended up in the media speaking about all this stuff, and he performed incredibly well, and then he wrote 12 Rules for Life, and that was a huge international bestseller, sold something like 5-6 million copies, and all of this, and now, of course, he works with us over at the Daily Wire, among his other projects. Well, in November of 2022, Canada decided to target Jordan Peterson. There's an administrative board that regulates the conduct of psychologists, and they decided that Jordan's political views were a disgrace to his profession and that of clinical psychology generally. So Jordan was sentenced by a board, the Ontario College of Psychologists, to a bout of mandatory re-education of indeterminate duration at his expense. He took the decision makers to court, and then he lost because Canada is no longer a free country. The decision of the Ontario College of Psychologists was upheld. He then appealed to a higher court, and then just a couple of days ago, that appeal was rejected. No reasons were provided. So, as Jordan writes in the National Post, he now faces two choices. First, he can comply when the college goes ahead with its determination to require my re-education, dutifully attend whatever bloody classes their DEI enthusiast social media experts, whatever those are, determined to inflict upon, confess the sins of my classic liberal, conservative, or even Judeo-Christian political, philosophical, and theological commitments, repent and silence myself, or even become a standard bearer for the faux compassion it will cause, at least publicly. Alternatively, I can tell my would-be masters to go directly to hell. They're so rapidly gathering around themselves and everyone else. Lose my right to practice or even to describe myself as a psychologist and suffer the consequences on the reputation front. So here's what he did. He criticized three Canadian political leaders. A councilwoman in Canada's capital, Ottawa, for what I regarded and still regard as her disgraceful behavior during the Canadian trucker convoy. Justin Trudeau's former principal secretary, Gerald Butts, a man who resigned from one of the highest positions within the office of the former amidst a scandal that had enveloped the Teflon-coated Liberal administration, and the woke poster boy and shining narcissist himself, Canada's prime minister. I pointed out the shortcomings of the idiot, costly, self-aggrandizing, virtue-signaling, demoralizing lie of the power-mad climate apocalypse mongers, that on Joe Rogan's podcast. The entire three-hour-plus transcript was submitted to my college as evidence of my disgraceful conduct. I voiced my objections to the politically correct insistence that morbid obesity be regarded as the equivalent to the highest standards of athletic beauty. And I took a certain Hollywood actress or actor to task because that same person used its platform to parade the advantages of double mastectomies when performed on the bodies of perfectly healthy young women. I regret none of these actions. These crimes were reported on the publicly accessible Ontario College of Psychologists website informer page, not by anyone who had ever actually, you know, used Jordan as a psychologist, or by anyone who even knew him. They were instead brought to the attention of the authorities by activists in other countries, many of whom also lied in writing, claiming that they were, in fact, my clients. So what does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean a lot practically, as Jordan says, but he says that he is going to fight this thing all the way to the end. So he says, Canadians, mark my words, your much-vaunted Charter of Rights isn't worth the paper it's printed on, as one of its last remaining signatories has been continually striving to indicate. Your right to free speech is essentially non-existent, as evidenced by the court's decisions we are now considering. You have almost no real rights to property. Your rights to mobility can be taken away without consequence at any moment, as they were very recently. You can all too easily become the indentured servants of anyone you dare to hire. Your tax load is going to continue to increase and rapidly. Your economy is predicted to be the worst performing of any developing country for the next 3 decades. So he says, are you listening? If you refuse to abide by rules so radically leftist, they would have been and were in fact eschewed until recently by the outright socialist Canadian New Democratic Party. Your opinions have now become downright illegal. He says, I think I'll fight a little longer. I'll play along, find out exactly what you will do now that you've been emboldened to do whatever it is that in that darkest resentful demons lurking in your little low-level administrative hearts most truly desire, even to your own detriment. I'll see how burdensome playing your pathetic game becomes, and I'll publicize every single bit of it, and if I get tired, which seems highly likely, I'll hand over the bloody license I'm increasingly embarrassed in any case to possess, and let you continue journeying oh so morally to the dismal, fearful, pessimistic, moralizing, petty, butter won't melt in our mouths, hellish straits that you envision as the paradise best fit for your fellow citizens, yourselves, and your children. So Jordan doing what Jordan does best there, fighting back, and he's going to continue to fight back. An insane story. The fact that they can target Jordan in Canada, I'm telling you, whatever happens in Canada, coming to the United States, to a campus near you. Alrighty, folks, we've reached the end of today's show. We'll be back here Tuesday with much more. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. Tens of thousands of pro-life Americans rally in Washington at the 51st annual March for Life.
They traveled to the nation's capital from around the country, braving snow and freezing temperatures to promote the sanctity of life. Jeannie Mancini is president of the March for Life.
We will march until abortion is unthinkable.
A noontime rally on the National Mall featured a lineup of pro-life religious and political leaders, including House Speaker Mike Johnson. Afterwards, participants marched to the U.S. Capitol building and Supreme Court on behalf of the unborn and pro-life policies.
Correspondent Greg Cluxton reporting. South Carolina Republican Senator Tim Scott is endorsing former President Trump for president. Scott made the announcement tonight at Mr. Trump's rally in New Hampshire. The United States launches more airstrikes against Houthi targets in Yemen. Friday, the White House said the Navy conducted three successful self-defense strikes against Houthi missile launchers. The U.S. recently reclassified the Iranian-backed group as a terrorist organization after Biden removed them from the list after he took office. Well, January is a tough month when it comes to winter illnesses.
With cold weather keeping more people indoors for longer periods, we're more susceptible to catching the flu, RSV, or COVID-19. Try to stay in well-ventilated areas. Wash your hands frequently for 20 seconds. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says COVID-19 is the top illness leading to hospitalizations, and it's important to get tested if you're sick so a doctor can prescribe Paxlovid for COVID or Tamiflu for flu, which has already killed 11,000 people this season. I'm Jackie Quinn.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
In Retirement Outlook.
If your retirement account is mostly stocks or bonds, listen closely. The future of your savings may be more uncertain than ever before. Hi, I'm Paul Stone, CEO of Colonial Metals. The sad truth is, our government continues to eat away at our freedoms and security. In economic times like these, run around the flagpole by lunatics in Washington, I look to the most trusted store of wealth in human history, physical gold and silver that you own. At Colonial Metals, we specialize in helping folks with IRAs and 401ks and other retirement accounts move their savings into physical gold and silver. If you'd like a free gold investment kit, give us a call today at 820-800-8000. My team is standing by, ready to rush a free gold investment kit to you. You may also qualify for $7,500 in free silver and a free safe. Call 820-800-8000 now. That's 820-800-8000.
Colonial Metals is not a financial advisor. Consult with your advisor before investing.
That's 820-800-8000.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says the White House has not been focused on the main problem at the southern border. Appearing on the Salem Radio Network, DeSantis called the Biden administration's approach to the border crazy.
We have an unprecedented crisis at our border where we've had over 8 million people come in illegally, and yet Biden is basically just green-lighting it. When he's asked for money in the past, it hasn't been to stop the illegal immigration. It's been to process more illegals.
Some on social media are saying it's an example of go woke, go broke. Sports Illustrated's fired its entire staff after the owner had its publishing license revoked. Sports Illustrated came under fire recently after it was accused of publishing AI-generated stories under fake names. It also received a lot of flack for using men posing as women in its swimsuit issues. The magazine published its first issue back in 1954. News and analysis at townhall.com. EVs are not selling as fast as expected.
Sales of electric vehicles are growing, but not as fast as the industry expected. Many consumers are buying hybrids instead. So Ford is cutting production of the F-150 Lightning electric pickup after weaker than expected EV sales growth. This will affect about 1,400 workers, says Ford. Some will transfer to other jobs, and others are expected to take a special retirement program offer. Ford is also saying that it's creating hundreds of new jobs at its Michigan assembly plant to meet demand for the Bronco SUV and Bronco Raptor and the all-new Ranger pickup and the Ranger Raptor. I'm Rita Foley.
Alec Baldwin indicted once again on charges of involuntary manslaughter. New Mexico prosecutors are charging the actor for the on-set death of cinematographer Helena Hutchins during the filming of Rust back in 2021. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The property insurance crisis in California is starting to affect the business insurance property also. 200 to 300% rate increases in business property rates or not writing business insurance at all are becoming the norm. At Siskiyou Insurance, we have over 100 years experience in writing business insurance in the North State. We can help. We live here and care about our community and want to make sure that you keep your business with a local agent that knows our town and supports it every day. And we'll get you the best deal we can. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. Siskiyou Insurance, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, this week, amidst all of the domestic political hubbub here in the United States, the World Economic Forum is happening over at Davos. Now, why exactly is the World Economic Forum important? Well, we have a video, a fact video over at YouTube you should check out for all the background on the WEF. But the short story is this. In 1971, there was an organization that was established by a guy named Klaus Schwab, who is a German engineer, economist, and professor with a James Bond villain accent. He created this organization so that heads of business and heads of state could talk over what he called stakeholder capitalism. Stakeholder capitalism was a theory he was expressing that essentially suggested that if you owned a company, you ought not to answer to your shareholders. If you managed a company, you ought not answer to profit margin or shareholders. Instead, you ought to answer to every stakeholder in the world, meaning governments, meaning people who didn't own stock in your company, meaning everyone. Now, you might ask yourself, well, then, exactly who are you accountable to? Because it turns out that the rando who doesn't own shares in your company can't actually fire you or sell your stock or change anything about the way you run your company. And the answer that Klaus Schwab would give is, you are answerable to no one. You, as the head of a company, should be like a king with his own little kingdom. You, as the head of a company, you should be a lord, and the company acts as your fiefdom. And you can pretend that you're acting in the name of the general will, but really what you are is some sort of prophet from on high brought to spread your values. And this was the basis of stakeholder capitalism. Now, this theory was promoted via what was called the European Management Symposium. That's what the WEF was originally called in 1971. By 1975, this thing grew so fast that 860 participants, including the CEOs and chairmen of the largest European companies, started showing up. And that same year, only 4 years after creation, the European Management Forum, the EMF, was now partnering with the United Nations. According to the WEF website itself, after 5 years, the forum had gained acceptance at the highest levels of business and government. While not advocating policy or strategy, the forum had become a respected organization that served as a valuable platform for business, government, civil society, and other stakeholders to confer and collaborate. In 1987, the European Management Forum changed its name from the EMF to the WEF. So what is the WEF today? Well, it's the same thing except bigger, much more prominent. 10,000 people show up at the WEF every year. But the people who are on stage, the people who are meeting in the back rooms, are all of the global influential people. You're talking about the heads of major corporations and the heads of government. And they all come to pat each other on the back and explore what they have in common. What they have in common is a very peculiar set of values that you do not share with them. It's a set of values that suggest that they are responsible for solving all of the world's problems. What are those world problems? Well, problems like war and peace. They should collude and decide what system prevails everywhere. Problems like intolerance. They should collude and decide what information you are capable of seeing and understanding. Problems like the climate. They will get together and they will restructure entire swaths of the global economy in order to fight back against climate change. This is what they do. And let's face it, this is a weird group of people, because the people at the top levels of power, particularly in the West, are a strange group of people. They're disproportionately secular. They're disproportionately of the political left. They're people who do not have ties to traditional ways of life and traditional values. They're also people who seem to have scorn for the culture that actually bore them, and instead have embraced this peculiar notion of multiculturalism in which all cultures are created equal. And that leads to this really sort of paternalistic and odd look at the WEF, where people are walking in wearing $5,000 suits and $20,000 watches, and then They are paying homage to poor Native Americans or natives of Europe or whatever who are showing up and breathing on them. We're going to get to more of this in just one second. First, if you really enjoy The Ben Shapiro Show and The Daily Wire, we have a bunch of other shows over at DailyWire.com. Let Matt Walsh tell you about his show.
Hey, this is Matt Walsh, host of The Matt Walsh Show. Most of us, you know, don't wake up in the morning thinking about what the bureaucrats in D.C. are up to. At least I don't. Our concerns are more immediate than that, which is why I focus on social issues, culture, family, faith, even sometimes pop culture. Political issues are important, but I don't think they're the most important thing or the most entertaining thing, frankly. So if you're looking for a conservative show that goes beyond politics and brings you stories the mainstream media tries to ignore, come check out The Matt Walsh Show, Monday through Friday, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, YouTube, Facebook, anywhere you go for podcasts, I'm there. Plus, if you check it out on DailyWire.com, you can watch the entire show ad-free. The Matt Walsh Show. Check it out. I'll see you there.
If you're looking for cynicism, depression, and also hilarity, Matt is the place to go. Make sure you check out Matt's show. Yesterday at the WF, for example, we had this bizarre spectacle of a Native woman of some sort with her face painted, breathing on the heads of various company owners, heads of state, top-level bureaucrats. Here's what it looked like. It's weird.
Why should I?
How'd you like to have this lady sneeze on her head? And I thought they all hated COVID, but apparently they love COVID. But again, this is all part of the show. They care about all of the stakeholders, from the most remote natives to you, the people. And so these kind of Bane knockoffs, except in the corporate garb, they've come up with all sorts of interesting and weird ways to restructure the global system in order to run the thing, in order to control you. This is presumably why the WEF and the World Health Organization were talking a lot over the course of this week about something they call Disease X. Now, let's be frank about this. Obviously, every government has to have some sort of contingency plan in case the country gets hit by an epidemic. Right? Localities have such emergency plans. But the WHO botched COVID-19 so damned badly that the notion they have any sort of leg to stand on when they preach to the rest of the world about how exactly we should deal with a future pandemic, it starts to look less as though they are attempting to create a contingency plan and more like they're sort of wish casting something like this into existence because they really love the levels of control. So here was the head of the WHO, Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, who, by the way, basically just works for the government of China, as we'll explore in just a moment, talking about Disease X and preparing the globe for Disease X.
After we started putting a placeholder, you know, the first that came was in the Disease X is COVID. So we have experience now, and we are preparing based on that experience. A lot of assessment has been done by independent panels and experts. And based on the recommendation, many initiatives have already started. And then the other key in order to have better prepared and to address the Disease X is the pandemic agreement. The pandemic agreement can bring all the experience, all the challenges that we have faced, and all the solutions into one. And that agreement can help us to prepare for the future in a better way.
That's right. All the people who failed so dramatically during COVID-19, who covered up for China. And the WHO, remember, was a Chinese cutout. China was actively hiding information from the rest of the world. They knew this pandemic was spreading since about November of 2019, and they said nothing to the rest of the world. Then they lied to the WHO that it was not being transmitted human to human. And the WHO dutifully repeated all that because they wanted to keep China in the fold, sponsoring the World Health Organization. These same people are still insisting that they ought to run things going forward. There is never any accountability because this is the beauty of a stakeholder system as opposed to a shareholder system. When you own a share in a corporation, you have a vote. When you have a stake in something, just broadly speaking, it kind of means nothing. You don't have a stake in the WHO. You don't have a share in the WHO. You got no control over the WHO. And that is what the WF is really about. By the way, an exclusive from the Wall Street Journal, today, quote, Chinese researchers isolated and mapped the virus that caused COVID-19 in late December 2019, at least 2 weeks before Beijing revealed details of the deadly virus to the world, congressional investigators said, raising questions anew about what China knew in the pandemic's crucial early days. Documents obtained from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services by a House committee and reviewed by the Wall Street Journal show a Chinese researcher in Beijing uploaded a nearly complete sequence of the virus's structure to a U.S. government-run database December 28, 2019. Chinese officials at that time were still publicly describing the disease outbreak in Wuhan as a viral pneumonia of unknown cause. They still had not closed the Huanan seafood wholesale market, site of one of the initial COVID-19 outbreaks. And again, China continued to lie for like a full month that there was no dangerous human-to-human transmission. The Chinese researcher who submitted the virus sequence, a Dr. Lily Ren of the Beijing-based Institute of Pathogen Biology, did not respond to an email seeking comment. Well, you'll never hear of her again since her name has now been publicly reported in the press and China is an authoritarian, tyrannical government. So WHO did an amazing job, and naturally this means that we have to continue to include them in the world system. All the people who botched it last time, we are going to keep them in control. So, disease X is one methodology of control. Other methodologies of control, climate change. So there's language that people on the left love to use when they're talking about controlling you, and that is the language of war. The war on poverty is about controlling income. It is about controlling redistribution of wealth. The war on climate change is similarly about controlling exactly how you live your life. This is why people in politics are constantly eager to use war language, because in a war, you get to put your entire population on rations. In a war, you get to draft people and put them in barracks. In a war, you get to take control of literally everybody at all times, day and night. This is why John Kerry is eager to talk about war. He compares climate change to fighting Hitler. This is over at the WEF.
And I'm here again today because I'm convinced that the only way we win this battle is by stepping up exponentially from where we are today and begin to treat this fight almost as if we're in a war. I hate the war analogies because we get tired of them and they're probably overused, but unfortunately it's apt. In World War II, when we needed to gain control over the skies of the ocean and learn how to penetrate Hitler's defenses in order to win the Battle of Freedom, it was mid-level techs who made a lot of decisions that actually helped us win the war.
Okay, so again, that sort of language is the lever for exercising power. Now, there was one wonderful moment during the WEF. Javier Milei, who's become my spirit animal, the president of Argentina, who is colorful and wonderful, economist, rock star, and just all around Wolfman. He was speaking at the WEF and he just laid into them and it was wonderful.
Do not surrender to the advance of the state. The state is not the solution. The state is the problem itself. You are the true protagonists of this story. And rest assured that as from today, Argentina is your staunch, unconditional ally. Thank you very much, and long live freedom. Damn it. Today, I'm here to tell you that the Western world is in danger. And it is endangered because those who are supposed to have to defend the values of the West are co-opted by a vision of the world that inexorably leads to socialism and thereby to poverty. Unfortunately, in recent decades, motivated by some well-meaning individuals willing to help others, and others motivated by the wish to belong to a privileged caste, the main leaders of the Western world have abandoned the model of freedom for different versions of what we call collectivism.
Okay, this is great stuff and good for Javier Milei. Going to the WEF and slapping people across the head is precisely what they deserve. But it's not just a problem inside the WEF. There are plenty of people in the United States who hold the same peculiar globalist vision in which the elites of society ought to construct pretty much everything, up to and including the demographic shape of the United States. That's the only reason I can think why we continue to futz around over America's southern border. We'll get to more on that in just a second, but first, start the new year off knowing you found the right life insurance to protect your family with Policy Genius. Policy Genius makes it easy to compare life insurance quotes from top companies and find your lowest price. Their licensed agents work for you, not the insurance companies, which means you can trust their guidance because they don't have an incentive to recommend one insurer over another. There are no added fees. Your personal information is kept private. Listen, my wife and I have life insurance. It's deeply necessary. Everybody who's a responsible adult should have life insurance in case, God forbid, you're walking down the street, a truck sideswipes you, and as you're lying in the street bleeding, you're thinking to yourself, man, I wish my family were taken care of financially. At least you have that if you have life insurance. It is super satisfying to check life insurance off that to-do list. A good life insurance plan can give you peace of mind that if something happens to you, your family will be able to cover mortgage payments, college costs, or other expenses. Life insurance through your workplace might not offer enough protection for your family's needs. It's not going to follow you if you leave your job. Since life insurance gets more expensive as you age, now would be the time to buy. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies starting just $292 per year for $1 million in coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid those unnecessary medical exams. Save time and money. Give your family a financial safety net with Policy Genius. Head on over to PolicyGenius.com. Get your free life insurance quotes. See how much you could save. That's PolicyGenius.com. Already coming up, apparently there will be no compromise on immigration, which is good because you can't compromise with Democrats who just want an open border. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at ShastaCollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at ShastaCollege.edu.
Umpqua Bank presents Predator vs. Prey Indoor Animal Show at Turtle Bay Exploration Park, featuring live animals showcasing their natural survival techniques used for hunting, foraging, adapting, and surviving in the wild. This educational animal show features mammals, reptiles, and free-flying birds. Saturdays from 2 to 2:30 inside the Mill Building at Turtle Bay. Included with paid admission, free for members. Great for animal enthusiasts of all ages. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Hi friends, RC here, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor, the Diesel Vintage. A smooth burn, a perfect draw, and flavor for days. This is what an expertly crafted Parejo from the farms of A.J. Fernandez offers us. The Diesel Vintage is everything we seek in a fine and exceptional cigar experience. Get yours today at Tobacco & Brew, Redding, California.
Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Together.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So, apparently, no compromise is coming on immigration. That's because the White House refuses to just pass H.R. 2. H.R. 2 is a strong on the border security bill from the House Republicans. Instead, they're proposing a series of changes that would remain extremely soft on illegal immigration. Speaker Mike Johnson, to his credit, is refusing to go ahead with any sort of compromise border bill along the lines that Democrats are looking for, according to the New York Times. Speaker Mike Johnson on Wednesday dug in against President Biden's efforts to revive stalled legislation to send aid to Ukraine, saying the Republican-led House would not entertain it unless Democrats agreed to a far more severe crackdown at the U.S.-Mexico border than they have been willing to consider. He said, "I told the president what I've been saying for many months. It's that we must have change at the border, substantive policy change. We must insist that the border be the top priority. Well, Joe Biden had summoned the lawmakers in both parties to lecture them about Ukraine, about the importance of repelling Russia's invasion, but he refused to actually commit to any serious changes at the border. Meanwhile, some of the Senate Republicans are ready to cut any sort of deal, apparently. Senate Republicans said they are hopeful. Senator Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, who's fairly soft on immigration, said the Senate could vote as soon as next week on a national security spending bill combining border measures with military assistance for Ukraine and Israel as well. It seems to me that what is being proposed in the Senate is far too weak for Republicans in the House to sign on to. So leading Senate Republicans are saying this is the best chance the GOP has had in years to secure serious border policy concessions from Democrats. But I really doubt that. I think that Joe Biden is willing to cave more than he has thus far. So what exactly is being proposed at this point? Well, it's something called the Dignity Act. So the so-called Dignity Act was originally brought up in 2023 by Representative Maria Elvira Salazar of Florida, who I know, she's a delightful person, but she's wrong on this bill, and other co-sponsors, including people like Veronica Escobar, Democrat of Texas. And again, this is a fairly weak immigration bill. It includes $25 billion for more border security like barriers and technology, and it does hire and train more personnel. But with regard to asylum reform, it essentially says that there would be humanitarian campuses managed by CBP along the southern border where migrants would be held. Asylum officers would then conduct asylum interviews and make final determinations on the campuses. Migrants would have access to medical staff, licensed social workers, mental health professionals, child advocates, private organizations that provide humanitarian assistance and legal counsel. Under that bill, within the first 15 days, the staff would provide an initial screening, including criminal background checks, biometric data, verify identification, conduct medical assessments, and migrants unable to establish a credible fear during an initial screening would be subjected to expedited removal from the United States. Then, presumably, asylum seekers would theoretically be held for another 45 days, although it's unclear to me whether they would then be released into the United States, because otherwise things are just going to continue to swell at the border. Obviously, one of the big problems here is, have you established credible fear? What exactly does credible fear look like from a migration official with the staff of these humanitarian campuses? According to the bill, within 45 days of passing the initial credible fear interview, a trained U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services asylum officer would review the individual's asylum claim and make a final determination. Asylum officers must deny, approve, or refer complex or uncertain cases to an immigration judge. So basically, you would end up with the same sort of backlog that you currently have. For those who are referred to an immigration judge, the bill would then create a system by which asylum seekers would receive a notice to appear and then be released from the humanitarian campus. So this would continue to maintain catch and release. It would just do so in a more delayed fashion than is currently being applied. This is the reason why Republicans in the House are not willing to go forward with this. It also creates worker status for illegal immigrants who are already here in the country. It is a very, very soft bill, which is precisely, of course, what Republicans are saying. It keeps the border open. So the question is, why don't Democrats just cave? Seriously, why don't they just cave? Why don't they give Republicans more of what they want, get some sort of actual border compromise done in the bill? They can go back to their base and say, listen, we needed the Ukraine funding. We needed it. And so we had to cave. And then they could go to moderates and say, we actually did something to stop the flow at the border. Instead, they keep doubling down on open borders rhetoric. And then they're blaming Republicans for, quote unquote, not wanting to fix immigration. That dog ain't going to hunt. Joe Biden is the one who broke the immigration system beyond all repair. Here's Kamala Harris, the incompetent vice president of the United States, blaming Republicans for failures on immigration.
Everyone knows our immigration system is broken.
Right.
Okay. The first bill that we dropped, the first bill that we offered right after inauguration was to fix the immigration system, a comprehensive plan to deal with the immigration system. Do you think they've taken it up? No. We want solutions. The solutions are at hand. But frankly, we're in an election year. And the folks who want to return Donald Trump to the White House would prefer to talk about a broken immigration system instead of focusing on the solutions that are at hand and engaging in bipartisan work.
But the solutions that you want are an open border. Again, they keep saying things like we need more processing at the border. But what they really mean is they want to allow more people to use the asylum system to get into the country. Until you change the actual rules with regard to who is adjudicated eligible for asylum, nothing is actually going to change. Already coming up, Democrats continue to try to blame Republicans for their own intransigence on the border. I don't think that's a dog that'll hunt very well. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The property insurance crisis in California is starting to affect the business insurance property also. 200 to 300% rate increases in business property rates or not writing business insurance at all are becoming the norm. At Siskiyou Insurance, we have over 100 years experience in writing business insurance in the North State. We can help. We live here and care about our community and want to make sure that you keep your business with a local agent that knows our town and supports it every day. And we'll get you the best deal we can. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. Siskiyou Insurance, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Classical music lovers, listen up. Internationally known piano player Olga Popolova is presenting a concert called The Not-So-Invisible World of Female Composers, featuring the works of Cecile Chaminade, Clara Schumann, Florence Price, and many others, Wednesday, January 24th at St. James Church in Reading. Ms. Popolova is performing this benefit concert to show her appreciation to our community who warmly received her family fleeing the Russian-Ukrainian war. Proceeds from the $20 tickets will benefit the Foundation for Performing Arts Education and Reading Piano Angels. Student tickets are $10. Pay at the door or go online to readingpianoangels.com. Olga Popolova is the principal pianist for the Sao Paulo Symphonic Orchestra in Brazil. This one-night-only performance at 7 p.m. Wednesday, January 24th at St. James Lutheran Church on Shasta View Drive in Reading. World-class classical piano for a good cause. Wednesday, January 24th at St. James Church. Get tickets at the door or go online to readingpianoangels.com.
Welcome to the Queen of Dragons Dispensary, your ultimate destination for top-notch cannabis experiences. Conveniently located at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard, Shasta Lake, our locally owned and operated dispensary takes pride in providing you with the best in price, value, and safety. Rest easy knowing that all of our products are rigorously tested for your peace of mind. We champion medical freedom, empowering you to choose what's right for you. Unbelievable value for unbeatable quality. For exclusive deals and exciting updates, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at The Queen Dragons or visit www.queenofdragons.com. The Queen of Dragons Dispensary, where the fire of quality meets the freedom of choice. Backed by popular demand, fresh and local flower powered by Pinnacle, Shasta County's premier local cultivator. Package fresh and daily with a wide variety and best prices and deals in town. And they can package larger sizes and quantities on site. Available only at the Queen of Dragons Dispensary. Winter hours are Monday through Sunday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. and they deliver. 530-276-9771.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So it is amazing to watch Democrats try to blame Republicans for their own border failures. I don't think that it is going to work. Here's Karine Jean-Pierre, world's worst press secretary, doing the same thing.
How will the president receive that message today if Johnson says this is too complicated to do right now?
Making sure that we take care of our border is not too complicated. It's not. It's not. If people come together in good faith, as they've been doing in the Senate, we can get this done. We can get this done. And let's not forget, the president actually put forth a comprehensive immigration proposal almost 3 years ago. Almost three years ago. We had three years to work on something. If that was what the Speaker Johnson is concerned about, we had 3 years to work on it.
I mean, and it was a terrible proposal. You had 3 years to do something, and you didn't do it. And the reason you didn't do it is because it's a terrible proposal. Now, why is that happening? Why is that happening? The answer is back to the WEF. There is, in fact, an agenda to do away with America's southern border. And some Democrats are more clear about this than others. So, for example, Democratic Representative Max Frost, who's in Florida, he says that if you want H.R. 2, which is a way of solidifying the border, changing the rules with regards to asylum, for example, what you really want to do is destroy the Statue of Liberty. This is my favorite stupid rhetoric, is this notion that the Statue of Liberty is somehow coincident with the Constitution of the United States. It has some poetry on it, and that's it. It does not dictate the policy of the United States being an open immigration policy. That's absurd. Here is this Democratic congressperson saying the quiet part out loud.
To my colleagues on the other side of the aisle, let's be honest with immigrants who deserve better than what you're offering them. Don't welcome immigrants if you plan to reject them. If you keep pushing your bigoted H.R. 2 bill, then also pass this bill. I've taken the liberty of drafting it for you. It removes the Statue of Liberty, our largest symbol that tells people to come here. This is who you are, removing the fabric of America. So I want to know which Republican who supports and voted for H.R. 2 will introduce this bill.
The only people tearing down statues, by the way, right now are Democrats. So that is absurd. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she of the weeping at the border over child separations, but only when Trump is president. She is also saying the quiet part out loud, which is they do want the open borders. They want those open borders and they want them bad.
Virtually every single member of this committee is here today as a result of and thanks to more open U.S. immigration policies. And the idea of slamming the door when we desperately need these migrants, when we desperately need it, and what we need is an orderly process. We want, it's not that we don't need or want folks to come. It's that we actually have to make it easier for these individuals to participate in our economy, get a job, support themselves, and live the American dream. And what this conversation is about defending the American dream.
The American dream, presumably, is that there be no border whatsoever. Now, again, countries can have open immigration policies so long as their economies are not giant welfare economies, so long as there is the courage of your conviction for gold with regard to assimilation into your culture. You can have open borders under those circumstances. That was, in fact, a policy of the United States in the late 19th century. That sort of thing was part of American policy and didn't destroy the country. But once you had a welfare state, it changes all the math pretty dramatically. And not only that, once you add on to that a multicultural notion that people don't have to learn English, that they don't actually have to learn American customs and ways of life, then, of course, the social fabric of the country is going to fray. But AOC doesn't care about any of that. She's perfectly happy to see the social fabric of the country fray because she agrees with the basic premises of many of the people at the WF, that top-down administrative control over nearly every area of life is better for you, and that borders are parochial, borders are wrong. Of course, it's the World Economic Forum, not the National Economic Forum. Now, there's still some Democrats, or soon-to-be former Democrats, who acknowledge the reality about this. Joe Manchin is one of them, the senator from West Virginia. He says, well, of course the border is worse under Biden. Everybody knows that.
One of the leaders of the president's reelection committee come on with Brett Baer yesterday and said, but Donald Trump did nothing at the border and the border's better under Joe Biden. Do you think that's a correct assessment?
That is absolutely false. They are living in la-la land. It's a disaster, and they know it's a disaster. So let's fix it. And the only thing I would implore the president to do to consider this and to do it immediately, if Congress cannot come together because the perfect could be the enemy of the good, you have Republicans that might want to shut everything down, throw a border, throw any type of immigration out the window, and you have Democrats who might think everything's fine. It's not fine. It's a disaster. It's dangerous. And I would implore the president to declare a national emergency and secure our border immediately if Congress can't do something this week.
By the way, it is worth noting here that immigration is a top issue for both Democrats and Republicans in the upcoming election, which is just another reason why Donald Trump is running so durably against Joe Biden, despite all of his legal troubles, foibles, and myriad excesses. Speaking of which, there's a brand new poll out of New Hampshire. This is not a C-plus rated American Research Group poll. This poll is from the St. Anselm poll of likely voters, and it finds that Donald Trump currently has a 14-point lead on Nikki Haley in New Hampshire. He is at 52%, Nikki Haley at 38%, and Ron DeSantis at 6%. As I've suggested, I think that Trump has the momentum. I think, effectively speaking, just based on the data, the race for the GOP nomination is over. But Democrats have no strategy, of course, to deal with Donald Trump other than simply targeting him as a human being. This, of course, is Kamala Harris's plan. Here she was yesterday suggesting that she is scared as heck. She's running against the crazies, like, of course, Donald Trump.
What could happen if Trump ever became, God forbid, president again? And what are you going to do to stop the crazies?
I am scared as heck.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm traveling our country. You know, there's an old saying that there are only two ways to run for office. Either without an opponent or scared. So on all of those points, yes, we should all be scared.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But as we know, and certainly this is a table of very powerful women.
Yeah.
We don't run away from something when we're scared. We fight back against it.
Oh, yeah. This is you. This is what we call a little bit of strength right here with the bouncing of the shoulders. That's when you know that she's about to lay one on you real thick. What's hilarious about all of this is, of course, if the entire pitch against Trump is leave our incompetence aside and focus in on the fact that Donald Trump is a big, bad, mean, orange man, that's not going to work. Jamie Dimon is not remotely a radical Republican, the J.P. Morgan CEO. He was asked yesterday about Joe Biden's campaign chances. Like, Joe Biden's in a lot of trouble, and demonizing MAGA Republicans is not going to help him.
And I think people should be a little more respectful of our fellow citizens. And when you guys have people up here, you should always ask the why. Not like it's a binary thing. You're supporting right. Trump, you're not supporting Trump. Why are you supporting Trump?
It's hard to
Trump?
Hate 75 million of your fellow Americans.
I agree.
It's done criminal.
And, you know, the Democrats have done a pretty good job with the deplorables, hugging onto their Bibles and their beer and their guns. I mean, really? Can we just stop that stuff and actually grow up and treat other people with respect and listen to them a little bit? And I do think the economy will affect. And I think this negative talk about MAGA is going to hurt Biden's election campaign.
It's coming from Jamie Dimon. Jamie Dimon is not some sort of wild right winger. He's wearing a Ukraine pin on the air while he's talking with MSNBC, talking about all of this. Now, Democrats are banking, again, on Donald Trump's legal foibles to drag him down. They're looking at polling, like the polling from Ipsos yesterday. That polling found that if Donald Trump were convicted of a felony crime by a jury, that might ding him in the polls. So, according to this poll, 59% of Americans say they would not vote for Donald Trump if they were convicted of a felony crime by a jury, as opposed to 25% who said that they would. A majority of Republicans said they'd vote for Trump, 52-31, even if you were convicted of a felony crime. Democrats, of course, split 86-8 against, but that's no shock. They're split 86-8 against Trump generally. Independents are the ones who really shift. 66% say they would not vote for Donald Trump if convicted of a federal crime. If he is currently in prison, even 39% of Republicans say we're not going to vote for him if he is currently in prison. 62% of Americans overall said they would not vote for Donald Trump if he is in prison. Now, the chance of him actually being in prison by the time we get to the election, I think, are incredibly low, like very, very low, based on appeals, based on the length of time it takes to actually do a trial. I also think that some of these poll numbers about being convicted of a felony crime by a jury, I think most Americans don't even know what he's being charged with. So the idea that he gets convicted of felony mishandling of classified documents and that a bunch of independents are like, oh, I won't vote for that guy anymore. I just don't see that as being a real huge concern for the Trump campaign, particularly because there are a lot of obstacles that are coming down the pike for these various legal cases. So, for example, as Politico points out, There is a case called Joseph Fisher versus United States, which the Supreme Court has agreed to hear in December. It doesn't explicitly mention Donald Trump, but it could knock out a bunch of the January 6th charges against Trump. At issue in that case is whether prosecutors and the Department of Justice have been improperly using a 2002 law originally aimed at curbing financial crimes to prosecute a January 6th defendant named Joseph Fisher. Should the court side with Fisher, it would call into question the use of the same law against other January 6th defendants, including Trump. Smith's indictment against Trump, again, carries four charges, four counts. Two of those are for obstruction of an official proceeding and for conspiracy to do so, but that's all under Sarbanes-Oxley. The Sarbanes-Oxley Act was originally designed to make it criminal to obstruct official proceedings of the U.S. government in financial scandals, not with regard to, for example, the counting of the vote. And, of course, Donald Trump taking legal means, like filing lawsuits or calling people on the phone and saying, if you could theoretically get certified as an alternative state elector for your state, would you go and talk about that in Washington? Like, first of all, the crime may not be a crime. Second of all, the crime in this particular case may be completely in the wrong category, and the Supreme Court could easily say Sarbanes-Oxley was never meant to apply to Donald Trump's January 6th activities. As Politico says, the impact of Fisher on the January 6th trial against Trump might not be known until after the Supreme Court wraps up its term in June, at which point it could knock out half of Smith's counts against Trump. Meanwhile, the other cases that are currently in play, like, for example, the Alvin Bragg case in Manhattan, that case is a joke. That case is a joke. Think about it this way. Donald Trump right now is running an incredibly durable, even campaign against Joe Biden. Right now, he is up in many of the polls. He is in the middle of his second defamation trial with E. Jean Carroll, and he's yelling at the judge. I mean, literally yelling at the judge, and no one cares. Literally yesterday, there was an exchange between Trump and a judge named Lewis Kaplan in which the judge said, Mr. Trump has the right to be present here, but that right can be forfeited. Mr. Trump, I hope I don't have to consider excluding you from the trial. And Trump shot back, I would love it. And Kaplan said, I know you would. I know you would. You just can't control yourself in the circumstances, apparently. It's hilarious. And no one's going to care about that. Like, seriously, no. How is that going to hurt Trump? How's that gonna, the answer is it's not, because everything is baked into the, as I said for a while, every single thing is baked into the cake except for the circumstances of the United States. And that is not in Donald Trump's control. That is in Joe Biden's control. And increasingly, it's looking very bad. We'll get to more on that in just a second. But first,
I'm Scott, the owner of Solid Fire Pits. When I began welding my custom-made fire pits for friends and family, I shared them on TikTok because I was just so proud of them.
Check it out. That's beautiful.
I posted every new fire pit design, and more people kept ordering from 26 states and counting. Then on my birthday, I had my best sales ever. Now how can the universe beat that?
Solid Fire Pits is just one of the 5 million U.S. businesses that rely on TikTok every day. TikTok sparks business.
Already coming up, speaking of a failing Joe Biden presidency, the economy, there are still shoes left to drop. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air. there.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, the economy is about to hit a bunch of very, very large road bumps. Story out from the Wall Street Journal today, and it points out that we have a bunch of economic trains coming down those tracks. And we are tied to those tracks. Like, no, it's not going to be great. And Joe Biden is a very, very bad Dudley Do-Right. According to the Wall Street Journal, the troubling commercial real estate market is bracing for a record amount of maturing loans, boosting the prospect of a surge in defaults as property owners are forced to refinance at higher rates. In 2023, $541 billion in debt backed by office buildings, hotels, apartments, and other types of commercial real estate came due. That's the highest amount ever for a single year, according to data firm TREP. Commercial debt maturities are expected to continue rising, with more than $2.2 trillion coming due between now and the end of 2027. Most of those loans have so far been repaid or extended. In 2022 and 2023, many owners were able to exercise 1 or 2 year extensions built into their original loans, but those extensions are now burning off. They are coming due. That means many borrowers have to confront that higher rate environment, and that is depressing property values. So what happens when a bunch of foreclosures happen? Because people can't afford the higher commercial lending rates. What happens then? Well, it means some people are going to get laid off. It means that inflated real estate prices are going to come down. Because again, Joe Biden's economy was always inflated. And what goes up must come down. And of course, the problems are mounting for Joe Biden pretty much everywhere. They are mounting with regard to Ukraine as well. According to Tony Blinken, a ceasefire is nowhere in sight with regard to Ukraine. Which is kind of amazing, because just a couple of months into the war, a ceasefire was actually on the board, and Vladimir Putin ended up backing away after further Ukrainian war action. Here was Tony Blinken talking about how there is no ceasefire imminent in Ukraine.
Are we anywhere near any kind of negotiation, though, for a stable long-term ceasefire?
Look, in this moment, I don't see it. We're always open to it, attentive to it, because more than anyone else, the Ukrainian people want this. But there has to be a willingness on the part of Russia to engage, to negotiate in good faith based on the basic principles that have been challenged by its aggression.
Okay, well, good luck with that. Meanwhile, top NATO officials are warning that things are going to get uglier before they get better in Ukraine. According to the Associated Press, Ukraine is now locked in an existential battle for its survival almost 2 years into its war with Russia. Western armies and political leaders must drastically change the way they help it fend off invading forces, according to a top NATO military officer on Wednesday. As the war bogs down, with U.S. and European Union funding for Ukraine's conflict-ravaged economy held up by political infighting, this NATO general is appealing for a whole-of-society approach to the challenge that goes beyond military planning. He said, we need public and private actors to change their mindset for an era in which everything was plannable, foreseeable, controllable, and focused on efficiency, to an era in which anything can happen at any time. Does that sound like a great pitch for Joe Biden's administration? Like, that's the bumper sticker? Biden 2024, anything can happen at any time? Does that make you feel a sense of quiescence, an internal solidity? Does that make you feel secure? I mean, the answer is, of course not, because why would it? The world has become significantly more chaotic under Joe Biden. That is particularly true, obviously, not just in Ukraine, but also in the Middle East. John Kirby has now been forced to make the unfortunate statement that removing the Houthis, the Yemeni Houthis from the terror list in 2021, which is just one of the things the Biden administration did to encourage Iranian aggression, that that actually was not a stupid move. He has to say that because now, of course, they are relisting the Houthis as a terror group. Here was John Kirby yesterday.
Was it a mistake to take them off of the terrorist list back in 2021? Consideration over these years?
No, it's not a mistake to take them off. We just had to put them back on. But sure, no, it was no mistake at all. Meanwhile, the Iranian foreign minister, Hossein Amir Abdollahian, he's openly threatening the United States, saying that if the United States is too unfriendly, then Iran will be unfriendly. I noticed Iran being unfriendly in the Red Sea, in Pakistan, in Iraq, in Syria, in Lebanon, in northern Israel, in southern Israel. I noticed some unfriendliness from the Iranians, actually. And meanwhile, the Biden administration is just running around like a chicken with its head cut off, saying, well, we're trying to cool the waters. Can we put some more pressure on Israel to make some concessions to the palace? Just cool the waters. Here's the Iranian foreign minister. Again, this is the foreign minister of a country that is a second-rate power. This does not mean the United States has to go to war with Iran. It's just the United States should not be intimidated by Iranian proxies. We have the largest and most able military force in the history of the world, and we're being intimidated by, again, Houthis, Hezbollah members, Hamas. It's ridiculous. Here's the Iranian foreign minister threatening the world.
If they talk to us, treat us respectfully, we will do the same thing. But anything unconstructive, the unfriendly, the behaviors of the United States, we will retaliate to them. It will be in the favor of the peace and security of the world if the United States would become less hostile, would become cooperative instead of confrontational.
Oh, it's that the United States is confrontational. Let it be known, by the way, that the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps is responsible for at least 2,000 deaths of American troops in Iraq. Iran is the most nefarious force on planet Earth in terms of spreading its terror tentacles everywhere, and they're openly sitting there at Davos and threatening the world. It really is an amazing, amazing thing. By the way, the West, which is currently attempting to push Israel into some sort of ceasefire with Hamas in the bizarre notion that this is going to somehow buy off Iranian proxies, Hamas is making perfectly clear who they are every single day. New tape has now emerged from October 7th of Hamas literally sawing at the necks of dead Israelis, like literally chopping the heads off dead Israelis ISIS style. But don't worry, these are people who should be left in power to fire rockets willy-nilly into the center of Israeli civilian areas. Because after all, the Israelis are just too mean in their own self-defense. That's the real problem here. CNN broadcast this yesterday.
This is one video shared with CNN by an Israeli source that we are showing you. Security cameras at the Near Oz kibbutz in southern Israel show a knife-wielding gunman sawing at the necks of dead Israelis. Evidence of beheadings cementing an Israeli view that Hamas is now akin to jihadi groups like Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State, or ISIS.
Well, it seems like they might have some evidence for that proposition. In fact, that's not even the worst beheading story of the day. According to a man named David Tahar, his son was a kid named Adir Tahar. His son was, I believe, 19 years old, and he was murdered on October 7th, and then he was beheaded. And apparently, they then took his head back to Gaza and tried to sell it. Adir's father said, I demanded to see the body. They warned me against it, but as a father, I needed to know every detail about my child's death. Half an hour before his burial, the body arrived at the cemetery. When I opened the casket, I realized what I was burying. He was unrecognizable. As we buried Adir, I knew I was interring my child without his face, so I had to keep searching for it. The grieving father spent weeks searching for a lead. I reviewed all videos and eventually found footage of my son missing a critical part of his body, said David. 3 weeks ago, during the interrogation of two Hamas terrorists arrested in Israel, they confessed that one of them had attempted to sell my son's head for $10,000 in Gaza. The IDF then entered Gaza, searched an ice cream shop's freezer, and there in a suitcase they found my son's head, which had also been desecrated. At least I was able to bury him with the little dignity that remained. Now, clearly, Palestinian-Israeli peace is just over the horizon. It's going to happen any time now, and probably that will make the Iranians calm down. Again, anything can happen at any time is a very good slogan, as it turns out, for the 2024 Biden campaign, because it feels like anything can happen at any time.
Alrighty, folks, we've reached the end of today's show. We'll be back here tomorrow with much, much more. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show. The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. Thousands braved snowy weather and bone-chilling temperatures to attend the 51st annual March for Life in Washington, D.C. Friday. House Speaker Mike Johnson says he was an unplanned baby.
I am myself a product of an unplanned pregnancy. In January of 1972, exactly 1 year before Roe v. Wade, my parents, who were just teenagers at the time, chose life. And I am very profoundly grateful that they did.
President Biden signs a stopgap funding bill that keeps the government funded into early March. The legislation punts the government funding deadline to March 1st for four appropriation bills and extends the deadline for eight others until March 8th. The United States launches more airstrikes against Houthi targets in Yemen. Friday, the White House said the Navy conducted three successful self-defense strikes against Houthi missile launchers. The U.S. recently reclassified the Iranian-backed group as a terrorist organization after Biden removed them from that terror list when he took office. A grand jury in New Mexico indicts Alec Baldwin on an involuntary manslaughter charge.
Prosecutors say there's new analysis of the gun that was used when cinematographer Helena Hutchins was killed and director Joel Souza was wounded in 2021 on the set of the movie Rust. Baldwin was pointing a gun at Hutchins during rehearsal.
I take the gun out slowly. I turn and cock the pistol. Bang, it goes up. She hits the ground. She goes down. He goes down, screaming.
Alec Baldwin told police he pulled back the hammer, but not the trigger.
I've been doing this. I shot enough guns in my day in movies. I've never seen this before.
A charge of involuntary manslaughter was dismissed last year. Prosecutors said the gun might have malfunctioned, but this new report says the trigger had to have been pulled or depressed. I'm Ed Donahue.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I've fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Stop. Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Relief factor. Pain relief that's natural. Pain relief that works. And pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Iowa Senior Senator Charles Grassley is released after a brief hospitalization this week. Bob Agnew reports.
Grassley's office says he remained in good spirits after being admitted to a D.C. hospital this week, where the senator received antibiotic infusions to treat an infection. The 90-year-old Grassley remains the oldest and longest tenured senator, a distinction he earned after California Senator Dianne Feinstein passed away last year. Bob Agnew reporting.
Retail stores across the country are reversing course on self-checkout. Stores are saying they're a disaster for consumers and retailers alike. The biggest problem? Theft. Shoppers are reportedly 21 times more likely to sneak items past machines than human cashiers. Target, Walmart, even Dollar General are all pulling back from efforts to introduce more self-checkouts in their stores. News and analysis at townhall.com. Record-breaking day on Wall Street Friday.
The S&P 500 rallied 1.2% Friday to surpass its prior all-time high set at the start of 2022. The benchmark index had dropped as much as 25% from that record on worries about much higher interest rates. Since then, inflation has cooled off, the economy has remained out of a recession, and the expectation is now for interest rates to ease. Tech stocks again helped lead the market, led by chip makers including Broadcom, Nvidia, and Advanced Micro Devices. The Nasdaq Composite rose 1.7%. The Dow, which set its own record high last month, rose 395 points. That's about 1.1%. Seth Sutton, New York.
Beginning Sunday, the United States Postal Service will increase the cost of a first-class forever U.S. postage stamp from 66 cents to 68. A domestic postcard stamp will go from 51 to 53 cents. And stamps for international postcards go up a nickel. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Today on the Matt Walsh Show, the media starts off the year with a full court press to push open marriages and polyamory. There have been three glowing profiles of open relationships in major publications in just the past week. So why are they pushing this so hard, and why now? We'll try to answer that. Also, the new head coach of the New England Patriots starts off his tenure with a speech about anti-racism. And more studies are linking marijuana use with schizophrenia and other psychiatric conditions. Finally, the WEF featured, among other things, a pagan shaman casting a spell. Paganism is back in a big way. We'll talk about all that and more today on the Matt Walsh Show. About 5 years ago, a British TV show called Love, Don't Judge featured a glowing profile of five people, one woman and four men, who were in a polyamorous relationship with each other. And clips from the episode went viral, and the five lovebirds quickly became the faces of polyamory. And they are interesting faces indeed. Watch.
This is Tori. She fell in love with Travis. And Ethan. And Mark. And Chris. Their four-way relationship is working wonders for them.
The relationship could best be described by having Tori as the hub and all of us are spokes on a giant wheel.
But not everyone understands the dynamic.
I was like, oh, you're kidding, that you're joking.
How will this poly relationship cope with a further addition to the family?
Yes, how will they all cope with the new addition to the family? Well, unfortunately, we got an answer to that question rather quickly, and the answer is horrific. Only 5 weeks after the baby was born, the baby you just heard about there, Ethan Balcom, one of the five musketeers, was arrested for abusing the infant so viciously that she had severe injuries to her ribs, lungs, limbs, internal organs, and had several brain bleeds as well. Now, Balcom reportedly told police that he injured the baby because he was frustrated that she was preventing him from sleeping. So it turns out that the man who volunteered to be a part of this grotesque, unstable, and dysfunctional polygamous relationship is also himself a grotesque, unstable, and dysfunctional person, which should come as no surprise. But it would be a surprise to you if you listen to the media, which has been in the midst of a full court press over the past few days to promote this kind of dysfunction to the masses. So first up, and this again is all in the past week as we start off 2024. First up to the plate was the New York Times with an article about, according to the headline, a polyamorous mom who had a big sexual adventure and found herself. Now this polyamorous mom has apparently just published a memoir titled More, a Memoir of Open Marriage. Because, needless to say, what the world needs most right now is yet another memoir written by a middle-aged woman about how she embarked on a quest of self-discovery, and the quest involved nothing but, you know, having sex with a bunch of random dudes. That's exactly what we need right now. You know, there's a memoir like this published every 45 minutes or so, and they're all the same. You know, all of these women are interchangeable. Their experiences are as uninteresting as they are unoriginal, and their insights, what little insights they have, are equal parts cliched and bogus. Now, next, there was a big piece in USA Today declaring in its opening paragraph, open relationships are having a moment. Polyamory, ethical non-monogamy, and similar terms are becoming a bigger part of our cultural lexicon. But perhaps the most known type of open relationship is swinging, and swingers are having a moment, too. Just ask Kylie George, a swinger who chronicles her journey on Swing Talk, a hashtag with more than 2.6 billion views on TikTok. The community also connects via symbols. An upside-down pineapple is the most viral and well-known. George recently married her partner, and the pair were able to celebrate with all of their Swing Talk creator friends and communicate within a Discord group of more than 30,000 members. They plan events, educate, provide resources, and enjoy a safe communal space. Now, you could have probably gone your whole life and been happy not knowing that something called Swing Talk exists, but now you know, for better or worse. And that leads finally to New York Magazine with its cover story for its latest issue, promising a practical guide to polyamory for, quote, the curious couple. Now, before we read any of the article in this issue of the magazine, we should note the cover of the magazine, which you can see right here. And you can see the words polyamory in big, bold block letters, along with a picture of four cats embracing. And it kind of makes you think, why did they choose cats for the cover photo? I mean, there must have been some thought put into this. They must have discussed this at some length. Like, what's the cover photo going to be for this big issue about polyamory? And they reviewed all the possible options and decided to go with cats, which is an interesting choice, considering the more obvious choice would be a photo of an actual polyamorous couple. I'm sure they could find plenty of polyamorous people who are, you know, willing to pose for the picture. After all, these people are not nearly as camera shy as we all wish they were, but you could see why they didn't go that route. And for one thing, you know, polyamory represents mating habits more often found in animals than in humans. By pushing this on us, they are pushing us to behave like beasts. And that could be the message here. But I think more likely they realize that most polycules in real life are a horror to behold. You know, we saw what happened the last time they gave us a face of polyamory, and they don't want to make that mistake again. So they'd rather not show you the kinds of people who are actually doing this, so they show you cats instead. Anyway, once we move past the cats, we're told the story of a married couple named Nick and Sarah, who have chosen the polygamous lifestyle. And here's what it says, just right off the bat. Quote, non-monogamy is really just designing the bounds of what we want in our relationship and what we're comfortable with, Nick says. For Nick and Sarah, the relationship design looks like this. Nick and Sarah are married. Sarah has had multiple other committed relationships while married to Nick. Currently, Nick has a girlfriend, Anna, who has a husband, Alex. And Alex has other people with whom he explores his desires. The easiest way to explain all this might be in the love language of most ethically non-monogamous people. Google Calendar. Sarah and Nick share a calendar. Nick and Anna share a calendar. Alex and Anna share a calendar. Sarah and Anna do not share a calendar, but are aware of who has Nick's time on any given day. Same for Nick and Alex. They are Sarah and Nick and Anna and Alex, a modern polycule, living, laughing, loving, and doing a lot of therapy. Oh, I bet. Yes, what a joy this must be. You know, if you want a date night with your wife, you have to put it in her Google calendar and hope she doesn't already have plans with her boyfriend that day. Like, that's the idea here. Now, this article in New York Magazine goes on and on for thousands of words. The author and the people she's interviewing are under the impression that their story is an epic, fascinating adventure. In reality, it is, again, the same story all of these people, all these other polyamorous groupings are telling. It's the exact same story. Sarah, the wife, says stuff like, I was on a journey to reconnect with my body and learn about myself as a sexual being. And as we've seen, women like this, you know, they love to talk about their sexual dalliances as a journeys, right? As if she's Frodo trekking across Middle Earth, you know, to destroy the ring in Mordor. And not just a middle-aged woman having sex with different dudes. And then we're told that Nick, the husband at first, struggled with the whole his wife has sex with other guys thing. If you can imagine, it was a little bit hard at first. But Sarah helped him very generously to work through these feelings. And at one point, We're told when Nick was feeling especially jealous, Sarah asked him, "How do you need to feel loved by me?" Which is a pretty good question for a wife to ask her husband or vice versa. The problem is that apparently stop having sex with other guys was not an acceptable answer to that question. And, you know, because why is that? Well, it's important that the couples in open marriages or open relationships support each other. And supporting each other always means, in their world, bottling up your feelings while your spouse has one affair after another. Which is to say, supporting your spouse in this case means not being a human. It means not responding in a human, natural way to the fact that your spouse is serially unfaithful. Now, if you're wondering, though, what this kind of support looks like in practice, here's a video from a popular polyamory TikTok account called Remodeled Love. And in the video, we see what is apparently a husband gushing over his wife's latest boyfriend. Unfortunate choice of words there, perhaps. But anyway, watch.
What I was just saying is that this man gets it, okay? Because you are a f***ing catch. And he makes an effort. He puts intentionality into his communication. He comments on your posts and your stuff. He makes plans. He wants to be around. He's proactive. He's got a great f***ing attitude just in general. And he's just a delight to be around. And you deserve someone. And he's a pretty great lover, apparently, as well. These are all of the things that you've been wanting. And I'm just telling Stargazer here over text that there's, while you've had a lot of great partners, there's always been crucial pieces of intentionality missing. But this man gets it.
Now, if you didn't know any better and you saw that video, you would think that this was, this was the woman's gay best friend and not her husband. And then when you're told the context, you realize that your original assumption was still basically correct for all intents and purposes. Now, you may be asking yourself, are any of these people actually happy living this way? Because again, if you're a normal person and you see all this and you hear all this, you think, well, that just sounds totally miserable. Like, that sounds, it's like a walking nightmare, a waking nightmare every single day. Who would want to live this way? That polyamorous quintuple that we talked about at the start of the monologue, they did their best to appear happy. And then a few months later, one of them landed in jail for nearly beating the woman's 5-month-old child to death. The guy in that video we just played a moment ago is trying his best to appear happy and quote-unquote supportive. But if you listen to these people speak for longer than 20 seconds, which is not an easy task, I admit, you'll find that their deep, profound unhappiness eventually comes seeping through, and soon it's the only thing you can see when you look at them. So the facade of happiness lasts for about 20 seconds, and then if you listen for longer than that, all the rest of it is, dear God, we are desperately unhappy. We'll be right back with more after a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos. Fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at GetEthos.com. That's GetEthos.com.
We'll be back with the Matt Walsh Show in just a minute. Don't go anywhere.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu.
Hi friends, RC here, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor, the Diesel Vintage. A smooth burn, a perfect draw, and flavor for days. This is what an expertly crafted Parejo from the farms of A.J. Fernandez offers us. The Diesel Vintage is everything we seek in a fine and exceptional cigar experience. Get yours today at Tobacco & Brew, Redding, California.
Reading School of the Arts presents Disney's The Little Mermaid Jr. at the historic Cascade Theater, January 18th to 21st. This 60-minute musical is full of the songs you know and love from the animated film and the Broadway production. This production by Reading School of the Arts is the only of its kind. Students at the heart of the show, come support students in the arts and prepare to be entertained in the guilds.
Tickets available now at cascadetheater.org. That's Cascade, T-H-E-A-T-R-E.org. This production of The Little Mermaid Jr. is presented with special permission by Music Theater International.
Hey, what's going on in Redding, California? This is Tony Horrod with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Be sure and tune in to KCNR on your radio dial Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Living in the North State. Together with my three amazing co-hosts, Rich Howe, Bill Woodford, and Mindy Cochran, we'll be interviewing professionals in the industry and taking your calls to answer all your questions and have a great time doing so. Talk to you then, Redding.
Here at KCNR Radio, we are fortunate to have two well-informed citizens. Hi, I'm Nick Gardner.
And I'm Doug Janke,
and we'll give you the inside scoop of news affecting you.
Tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest, Sundays, here, 8 o'clock.
KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and on your AM dial, 1460.
Welcome back to the Matt Walsh Show. You know, indeed, even in these propaganda pieces meant to promote polyamory, still the majority of the word count is devoted to explaining how the participants deal with their resentment and jealousy. So jealousy, by their own account, is an ever-present feature of their lives. Now, that's not the case in a healthy monogamous relationship. Okay, in a healthy monogamous marriage, which is to say a real marriage, jealousy really shouldn't even come up. If you trust your spouse is faithful, nothing to be jealous about. But in these people's lives, it's just every single second of the day. But they have their ways of explaining that away. So back to the New York Magazine article again, briefly. Quote, celebrating your lover while they marry their partner, while supporting your lover's lover's lover while they go through it, is an example of what Anna calls living life on hard mode. There's a real sense of connection that I think comes from doing hard things, and I'm someone who loves to do hard things, Sarah explains further. Some people like to run marathons. We like to do polyamory, complex relationship stuff. Sarah's favorite activity for the two of us to do is couples therapy, Nick says, smiling. Navigating the relationship dynamics is kind of generally a fun thing for us. It's like for relationship nerds. There's a lot of different puns you could make, and Sarah talking about she likes to do hard things, but, you know, we're not going to get into that. And this is another tangent I'm not going to get into right now again, but here's more proof that most therapists are completely useless. I mean, these two are apparently seeing a couples therapist, like, recreationally, and this couples therapist has, we can assume, given them advice that does not include stop engaging in serial adultery. So they are a couple that is constantly in a state of adultery, and they're going to a couples therapist, and given the fact that they keep going back to the therapist, we can assume the therapist has never once said to them, you know, one thing that could make things better for you guys, stop having sex with people that are not each other. But aside from the fact that therapy is so often a scam, what we see here is the familiar attempt to paint sin and failure and selfishness as complexity. You know, their open marriage is making them both miserable, but that's only because it's hard, you know, and it's hard in the same way that running a marathon is hard, they say. And the analogy is interesting because, of course, running a marathon is exactly what they are not doing. Okay, a monogamous marriage can much more accurately be compared to a marathon. Now, I don't really like that comparison because a marathon to me just seems totally miserable from start to finish, which marriage is not, but at least marathons take commitment and perseverance. And those are the two things that polyamorous people absolutely avoid at all costs. Being polyamorous isn't hard in the sense that marathons are hard. These kind of relationships are hard in the sense that it's hard to be a heroin addict. You know, in the sense that it's hard to be a pathological liar because you have to keep up with all the lies. It's hard not because you're taking on a challenge or you're doing something difficult but worthwhile, but because you are a weak person following your most base desires, entirely unwilling to control your urges or strive for virtue. That's the kind of hard we're talking about. You know, your life is hard not because you're doing hard things, but because you refuse to do hard things. It is hard in the way that it's hard to be weak, not in the way that it's hard to be strong. Those are very different kinds of difficulty. And the difference is that there is no true happiness, there's no true joy available at the other end of the difficulties that you are experiencing as weak and unfaithful people. You know, unlike if you are strong and virtuous and trying to be committed and faithful and a good spouse, you know, there's hardships and difficulties that come in that sense in family life, but at the other end of it is immense joy. Whereas with this kind of hardship and difficulty, at the other end of it is just more hardship and difficulty. So a monogamous marriage, which is to say, again, a real marriage, will have hardships, sure. You're not going to be on cloud nine every moment of the day until death do you part. That's just not reality. But there is immense joy available to you if you both work for it. In the case of the non-monogamous marriage, the open relationship, which is to say the fake marriage, there's no joy ever available. The most you can hope for is momentary pleasure, which is something you could have gotten in monogamy as well. So there's nothing you can get out of it that's good that you couldn't have gotten with a real marriage. There's a lots of bad stuff that you will get out of it that you would not have gotten out of it had you had a real marriage. In a real marriage, in a monogamous marriage, you could have had the pleasure and the joy if you had had the discipline and integrity to go get it. So there's no doubt that these non-monogamous groupings are full of absolutely miserable, self-hating, jealousy-riddled people trying to find a way to be happy in an arrangement that churns out nothing but despair and anxiety every single day. That's the reality for the poor fools on the ground who are trying to actually live like this, trying to live like beasts instead of human beings, like cats instead of people. And by the way, by focusing on the unhappiness of the adults involved, I don't mean to suggest that their suffering is the most dire side effect or consequence of polyamory. No, I mean, as we saw at the top, by far the worst thing is the untold misery and trauma and suffering and abuse and worse suffered by the children who are brought into and brought up in these chaotic, degenerate, and dysfunctional environments. So as always, children are the real victims here. But what about the elites who are pushing this? I mean, what do they get out of it? Why has the media, you know, jumped on board the polyamory train all at once with such coordination? Well, because this is the next step in the destruction of the nuclear family. Some of us conservatives, not enough of us, but some of us, predicted 10 years ago that this is where it would all lead. You know, after Obergefell, there are some of us who said, this is what's happening next. And it's happening. We said that the assault on marriage would not simply end there. It would continue to the next destination. Of course, we were laughed at and we were accused of engaging in a slippery slope fallacy. But as always, it turned out that the slope was as slippery as we said. And the only thing fallacious about it are the arguments presented by the people who are trying to expand the definition of marriage into oblivion. So that's where the fallacy is. But the slippery slope is real. Now, don't give us too much credit for being right, though. Like, it didn't take a prophet or a genius to see this coming. The marital union has two essential dimensions. It is fundamentally in principle procreative, and it is monogamous and committed. Once they waged an assault on one dimension, it was only a matter of time before they moved on to the next, and it really didn't even matter which one they started with, because the end result is the same. So wherever it began, we know where they want it to end, with the death of the family, which has always been the number one enemy and the greatest of all threats to the leftist elites who run our country. They cannot enact their agenda and exercise total control over a culture that is comprised of strong, loving, individual family units where children are raised by caring mothers and protective fathers. They cannot control. If that's the way society is set up, they are, there's nothing they could do. The elites, for all their money and power, would be rendered nearly impotent if that's the kind of society we had. Which is why they have to tear down the family and have been trying to do so for many decades. And tragically, they have largely succeeded. They haven't succeeded anyway on a general level. But I can tell you they have not torn down my family and they never will. And hopefully they haven't torn down yours either. Whatever you do, Don't let them. We'll take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Don't go anywhere.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Classical music lovers, listen up. Internationally known piano player Olga Popolova is presenting a concert called The Not-So-Invisible World of Female Composers, featuring the works of Cecile Chaminade, Clara Schumann, Florence Price, and many others, Wednesday, January 24th at St. James Church in Reading. Ms. Popolova is performing this benefit concert to show her appreciation to our community who warmly received her family fleeing the Russian-Ukrainian war. Proceeds from the $20 tickets will benefit the Foundation for Performing Arts Education and Reading Piano Angels. Student tickets are $10. Pay at the door or go online to readingpianoangels.com. Olga Popolova is the principal pianist for the Sao Paulo Symphonic Orchestra in Brazil. This one-night-only performance at 7 p.m. Wednesday, January 24th at St. James Lutheran Church on Shastaview Drive in Reading. World-class classical piano for a good cause. Wednesday, January 24th at St. James Church. Get tickets at the door or go online to readingpianoangels.com.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and me Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're going to discuss what's happening in our city, county, state, and nation. Join in. Miss a day, miss a lot. Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue, open and free, every other Sunday, right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
We're back with the Matt Walsh Show. From the Hill, a new analysis has found that minority Americans will make up the majority of the nation's population by 2050. Using data from the American Community Survey, Collage Group found that since 2021, America's multicultural population has increased by nearly 4 million. About 192.2 million white Americans make up about 58% of the population. Black, Hispanic, Asian, and other races account for about 141.1 million. Americans, according to this group, by 2050, Hispanic Americans are expected to have the most population growth, an increase of about 6%, while the white population is expected to decrease by about 11%. And then that leads to a majority multicultural Americans. Now, I don't even know what, like, I do know what they're trying to say, because we all do, but in literal terms, multicultural American doesn't mean anything. It makes no sense. It makes about as much sense as person of color does in a literal sense. Because as I pointed out many times, everyone is a person of, like, everyone has color. The other option is to be translucent. And nobody is that. So we all have color. Like, what do you mean you're a person? I'm a person that has color. Like, okay, congratulations. We all do. It's like saying you're a person of, to go back to this analogy from real, it's like saying you're a person of height. I have a height. What do you think the rest of us are? What do you think is the case for the rest of us? So in multicultural America, it's the same thing. It doesn't make any sense. And it's also, okay, so you've got multicultural Americans, quote unquote, and then you've got white people. And what are you saying? So we are one, so we're not multicultural, we're single culture people? Is that what you're saying? But hold on, I thought you said that white is not even a culture. So we don't have a culture, I thought. So which is it? So we have one culture as opposed to multiculture. And when you say multiculture, what do you mean? Like the individual people are multicultural? It doesn't make any sense. But we know what they're trying to say, which is that, this is what they don't want to say. They say person of color, multicultural Americans, diverse person. That makes the least sense of all when they talk about a diverse, not even a diverse group. Now they say diverse person. The person himself individually is diverse. Again, makes no sense. Because what they don't want to do is just paint this in these stark terms that they really mean it, which is white and non-white. That's all they're talking about. That's all they care about. And so when they talk about we need more diverse people, we need more non-white people. And when they're celebrating the rise of multicultural Americans, they are celebrating the rise of non-white Americans. They are celebrating that there will be fewer white people. That's what they're celebrating. And that's what's happening here. And this is, you know, very interesting because, I was told, I have been assured, as we all have been, that this is not happening. That in fact, to talk about this is a white supremacist theory, right? It's a white supremacist conspiracy theory. A great replacement. It's not happening. So no, of course it is happening. But when they say that it's not, if I talk about it and then they shout and say it's not happening, what they're really saying, again, you have to read through the coding. What they're really saying is, you're not allowed to talk about it. We can talk about it and frame it the way that we want it to be framed, but you're not allowed to talk about it. They don't want to say that, so instead when I talk about it, they just say it's not happening. And then 5 seconds later, they're saying, there's fewer white people! Hooray! And that is, in fact, what they are celebrating. But, you know, it's interesting that they, when you get to the end of this article, towards the end of it, they say, we're hearing from various people, various analysts and everything, who are talking about how great all this is. And it says, despite the increasing multiculturalism in America, the report found that black Americans are particularly affected by systemic inequalities. Both Hispanics and black Americans are least likely to have earned a bachelor's degree and earn less than the total median population. Least likely to earn a college degree means that you are systemically oppressed. Wait a second. Women are now more likely to earn college degrees than men. So does that mean that men also? What this tells us is that they're still hanging on. So they can do a whole article saying that non-white people are taking over, there's fewer white people, this is fantastic, we're so happy about it. But then in the end, they always have to throw in, but the people that are going to be in the majority, they're still the victims, just so you know. They're always going to be the victims, and no matter what, they are always the recipients of systemic inequality, no matter what happens. Because no matter what, they cannot let go of the victimhood narrative, because that's all they have, as we know. We'll be right back with more after a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now...
Do you or someone you love struggle with PTSD, anxiety, depression, insomnia, OCD, alcoholism, substance abuse disorder, autism, ADHD, brain fog, or traumatic brain injury? At Shasta Meadows Wellness Center, Dr. Taggart and his team offer safe, proven, and effective care, even for those resistant to typical medicine. Learn more about Shasta Meadows Wellness Center. They have IV ketamine or at-home oral ketamine. Ask about the state-of-the-art EEG guided TMS therapy. This customized, safe, no side effect option is effective on a wide range of difficult to treat conditions. Visit us today at ShastaMeadowsWellness.com. Don't just get by, get well.
Call to make an appointment for a free consultation. 530-444-8304. 530-444-8304. Shasta Meadows Wellness Center in Reading.
The seasons are changing. Keeping your family healthy is important. So is the health of your car. The longevity and reliability of your vehicle depends on you to make sure your oil, radiator coolant, windshield wipers, and other vital systems have all been taken care of so your car can bring your healthy family through the seasons. Drive into Premier Oil Change today and experience the friendly oil change. Premier doesn't require an appointment, and you don't drop your car off or wait. Maintain your car warranty with our service while you stay in the comfort and safety of your own car. Enjoy a free beverage and Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point service. Earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Stop into a Premier Oil Change near you today. Visit us in Palisadro, in the Holiday Shopping Center, or in Redding, on Lake Boulevard, near Waterworks Park, and Anderson, across from Roundtable Pizza. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
This is Carl Bott
and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right, even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes, people, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up, fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Virginia. Americans learned about the World Economic Forum for the first time. They heard all about the Great Reset, which was the WEF's plan to build back better, as the Biden administration said, by making sure that Americans couldn't own property anymore. They also discovered that just months before the COVID outbreak, the WEF meticulously planned something called Event 201, which was an exercise that was supposedly designed to prepare the world for a pandemic that, in the end, turned out to be strikingly similar to COVID. Imagine that. And, of course, millions of Americans learned that the WEF believed very strongly in social distancing and in lockdowns. And at one point, WEF went so far as to declare that, quote, extreme social distancing is pretty much the only intervention available to help individuals stay healthy. Now, whatever you think of all that, you have to admit that it doesn't exactly square with what we just saw the other day at the 2024 meeting of the World Economic Forum. And this is real footage we'll play from one of the WEF's panels on climate change, which featured a variety of business leaders, including the CEO of IKEA, who was there. Towards the end of this panel, a shaman from an Amazon tribe in Brazil is invited onto the stage. And to put it mildly, she does not comply with the infamous social distancing commandments of the World Economic Forum. In fact, this shaman violates pretty much every fundamental principle of hygiene that you can possibly imagine. And to be clear, this was not a spontaneous moment. The WEF planned it out and invited this shaman knowing exactly what she would do, and then she did it. So I want you to watch as the indigenous shaman from the Amazon, some Amazonian tribe, walks right up to each panelist at the WEF and as part of some kind of ritual, sneezes right in their faces. Watch.
Na Anuri, no Yuyuá, na Wahon Sinan, Bupang, Tushinan Shabawakin, Sinamu Kikirani, Tsang Shabakirani, Tsang Makikirani. Awama Wununu, Awama Wununu, Numawunu Wai, Wai Sharai.
Now, as the clip goes on, everybody in the audience erupts in applause. Then several of the elites in Davos give this shaman a hug after receiving her spittle at point-blank range. It's as if the last 4 years never happened. All that's out the window now. So there's two possibilities. Either they're really confident that their 10th COVID booster is 100% effective, or there's something else going on here. To figure out exactly what could explain this, I went and looked for the translation of the incantation that this shaman delivered to the folks in Davos just prior to sneezing on them. And here's what she said, apparently. I'm doing my best to do this justice. Quote, "The voice of all the people of the forest, us indigenous people, the voice of nature, voice of the forest, we count on you and ask your help, all the people, so that we may unite the hands and hearts and thoughts in the same direction for healing of the planet. And the healing is spiritual. The forest is our life. She is asking for help, and she is asking that we may all be united in our hearts and in our thoughts. And when we are all united in our hearts and our thoughts, our Mother Earth will listen to us." So this is, kind of as expected, Gaia worship. There's not really any other way of putting it. The most powerful business and political leaders on the planet are effectively acknowledging that they are not, in fact, motivated by science or by data or by anything. This is paganism. The truth is that they want to sabotage energy production and decarbonize the planet because they idolize the rain gods. Okay? These people are pagans. And in ancient times, we know the world was dominated by paganism, and then Christianity took over, and now we are plummeting back into paganism again. Of course, none of these CEOs would be caught dead actually living with some primitive tribe in Brazil. So at some level, they know how preposterous this whole tribal fetish is, but they clearly want to foist it on the rest of us. And that's what their pagan religion commands. And make no mistake, this is paganism in its most primitive form. I mean, we could call it neo-paganism, and maybe you could because it's a modern phenomenon, in some ways. But this is also primitive. And we've seen a lot of this in corporate America lately. You might remember the Apple advertisement from last year, which starred an overweight black woman who's literally called Mother Earth. And in the ad, Mother Earth talks about how important it is to remove all the carbon from the atmosphere, which, of course, would instantly kill all human life on the planet. But, you know, that's also like a feature, not a bug for these people. But Tim Cook and the rest of Apple executives, they just, you know, nod along and they're listening there obediently to Mother Earth. As more and more major corporations adopt paganism, the implications for civilization are stark, obviously. And we'll talk about that. Before we get to that, it's important to emphasize that freakish primitive displays are nothing new for the World Economic Forum. So here's a clip you might remember from the last meeting of the WEF, where for some reason they decided to put some kind of a musical performance on, and if you could even call it a musical performance, but here it is. Listen. Yeah, actually, I think I prefer the witch doctor over that, on second thought. And as amusing as it is to mock these people, the fact remains that they do have a lot of power, and their brand of Gaia worship, like any primitive religion, demands human sacrifice. They want to cause human suffering as an offering to Mother Earth. Of course, they won't suffer. They're not going to suffer themselves, but you will. It's like the Aztec priest is not cutting out his own heart up top the Aztec temple. No, he's bringing on the slaves to be slaughtered. And that's the way it's working here. And to that end, watch as a panelist at the WEF explains her definition of ecocide, as in genocide of ecology, which she says should be prohibited. Essentially, she's calling for a ban on farming and fishing, which would mean mass starvation and depopulation. It would mean the death of billions of people, like, within weeks. And that's, of course, what the WEF wants. Watch.
Ecocide as a word is becoming better known around the world, and the concept is generally mass damage and destruction of nature. But legally speaking, what our organization and other collaborators aim to do is to have this recognized legally as a serious crime. Because one of the issues that sort of pervades all of this discussion is that we have a kind of cultural, very ingrained habit of not taking damage to nature as seriously as we take damage to people and property. And if you're campaigning for human rights, at least you know mass murder, torture, all of these things are serious crimes. But there's no equivalent in the environmental space. Unlike an international crime like genocide that involves a specific intent, with ecocide, what we see is actually what people are trying to do, what businesses are trying to do, is make money, is farm, is fish, is do all of these things that are, producing energy and so on, as well. But what's missing is the awareness and the conscience around the side effects, around the collateral damage that happens with that.
Well, the WEF knows how this plays out. I mean, they managed to convince Sri Lanka to give up fertilizer because according to the principles of Gaia worship, farming is bad. So the WEF told Sri Lanka that if they wanted to get a high ESG score, which is something that the Great Reset demands, then they'd have to ban fertilizer. Well, what happened as a result? The country's economy collapsed. The president fled under the cover of darkness. Rioters took over government buildings. There were widespread power outages and food shortages. The WEF responded to this colossal disaster by removing the page from their website about how Sri Lanka would, quote, be rich by 2025. Real, real rich they are now. They pretended like they had no idea what happened to Sri Lanka. Of course, most people in our country never even heard about it at all. And that's because they want to keep pushing ESG scores so they can ruin other countries. And we have indeed seen that happen too. Similar economic collapses have taken place in the Netherlands and Ghana in recent years, both countries with high ESG scores, incidentally. To his credit, the newly elected president of Argentina, Javier Milei, spoke out against the agenda of the WEF at the WEF this week, and he was kind of the lone voice of sanity. He condemned these people to their faces. You could say that he kind of had his Ricky Gervais at the Golden Globes moment. Listen.
Good afternoon.
Muchas gracias.
Thank you very much. Today, I'm here to tell you that the Western world is in danger. And it is endangered because those who are supposed to have to defend the values of the West are co-opted by a vision of the world that inexorably leads to socialism and thereby to poverty. Unfortunately, in recent decades, motivated by some well-meaning individuals willing to help others, and others motivated by the wish to belong to a privileged caste, the main leaders of the Western world have abandoned the model of freedom for different versions of what we call collectivism. We're here to tell you that collectivist experiments are never the solution to the problems that afflict the citizens of the world. Rather, they are the root cause. Do believe me, no one better placed than us, Argentines, to testify to these 2 points.
Now, a lot remains to be seen as to whether Javier Milei will follow through on his campaign promises. So far, he appears to be doing so. But the bigger issue is that very few leaders, if any, are actually saying the same things in this country. And that leaves us vulnerable. Just as the Netherlands and Sri Lanka were vulnerable. The WEF certainly appears to recognize that, which is why they're already planning yet another lockdown, and this time it's for a something called Disease X that has not yet been identified, but watch.
After we started putting a placeholder, you know, the first that came was in the Disease X is COVID, so we have experience now. And we are preparing based on that experience. A lot of assessment has been done by independent panels and experts. And based on the recommendation, many initiatives have already started. And then the other key in order to have better prepared and to address the disease X is the pandemic agreement. The pandemic agreement can bring all the experience, all the challenges that we have faced, and all the solutions into one. And that agreement can help us to prepare for the future in a better way. Because this is about a common enemy. And without a shared response, starting from the preparedness, you know, we will face the same problem as COVID. And deadline for the pandemic agreement is May 2024, and member states are negotiating. This is between countries, and I hope they will deliver this pandemic agreement by that time, on the deadline.
Now, that guy is the director of the World Health Organization. He doesn't even have a medical degree. During COVID, we learned that he's a shill for the Chinese Communist Party, and yet here he is still in power. He's already planning for the next pretext to shut down all the schools and close all the businesses. And that's inevitably going to happen. It might happen this year. It might happen in a decade. You know, if you think we can just move on from COVID and let's not talk about it, let's not worry about the lessons, let's not have any accountability, which is the attitude a lot of people have about it, right and left, well, then you're a fool. Because it's going to happen again. That's guaranteed. They're going to try it. And when they do, remember that clip of the shaman that they imported from the Amazon to spit in their faces. Pull up that footage on YouTube, assuming they haven't taken it down by that point. Share it as widely as you can. Because these are people whose only concern is causing as much suffering as possible in order to appease their sky god. They don't remotely care about science or good governance any more than the Aztecs did. And that's why the World Economic Forum and all the pagan elites who are now covered in the mucus of a tribal witch doctor are today, needless to say, canceled. That's all we have for today and this week. Have a great weekend. Talk to you on Monday. Until then, Godspeed.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. The U.S. carries out more military action against targets in Yemen.
U.S. officials say Navy fighter jets struck Houthi insurgent sites in Yemen for the sixth time Friday. The targets were said to be anti-ship missile launchers that were prepared to fire. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby says the U.S. and allies are protecting commercial vessels in the Red Sea.
They need to stop the attacks. If they don't, we'll continue to defend ourselves and make it harder for them to conduct them.
The Houthis say their attacks aim to end the Israeli air and ground offensive in the Gaza Strip. I'm Norman Hall.
Pro-life activists gather in Washington, D.C. to honor the unborn. New Jersey Congressman Chris Smith says more needs to be done to protect the unborn despite the Supreme Court overturning Roe versus Wade.
As you all know, Dobbs conveyed the lawmakers newfound powers at every level, federal, state, and local, to save lives. We're greatly encouraged and filled with hope and resolve. Lives are being saved. Yeah, we'll have a setback here and there. Every human rights struggle does, but we are undeterred. We will not give up.
Speakers urge participants to keep fighting until abortion becomes unthinkable. Sports Illustrated has fired its entire staff after the owner had its publishing license revoked. Sports Illustrated came under fire recently after it was accused of publishing AI-generated stories under fake names. It also got a lot of flack for using men posing as women in its swimsuit issues. Sports Magazine published its first issue in 1954. Wayfair is laying off 13% of its global workforce. The move will affect more than 1,600 employees, particularly people in corporate management and leadership positions. The online home goods retailer says it's trimming down management and cutting costs to get the company back to its core structure. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Pain relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Seth Hullhouse brings hope and insight as he fights against socialism and communism on the Man in America podcast. Now available on the Salem Podcast Network.
The role of the digital world in shaping our perception of the real world cannot be overlooked. It seems like all of these mechanisms are dividing us in endless ways.
Subscribe to Man in America today on Apple, Spotify, Google, YouTube, Rumble, or at SalemPodcastNetwork.com.
Mexican Marines detain one of the top leaders of the Gulf drug cartel.
That cartel had kidnapped four Americans and killed two of them in March 2023. The suspect was arrested in the state of Nuevo León and identified as La Quina. That was the nickname the state previously listed on a wanted poster for José Alberto García Villano in 2022. Tamaulipas state prosecutors had offered a $150,000 reward for his arrest. John Scott reporting.
Mexico's president is calling on citizens not to support drug cartels or oppose the installation of National Guard barracks after a number of videos surfaced showing residents cheering convoys of cartel gunmen. The president of Mexico said he understood the gangs may be pressuring civilians to appear in such videos, but he said anyone who opposes the building of the National Guard barracks in their communities is protecting criminals. News and analysis at townhall.com. A New York-based airline is investigating an engine malfunction on a cargo plane that had sparks shooting from the jet over Miami.
fire.
Atlas Air says that Boeing 747 had just taken off from Miami International Airport, headed for Puerto Rico, when its crew reported an engine failure. On the ground below, using her cell phone, Melanie Adaros, out taking a walk with her mother Thursday night. She says sparks were shooting from one of the jet's engines, and she was worried about who was on board and if the plane was going to explode.
I hope they're okay. I wonder if they're doing an emergency.
The FAA says the Atlas Air cargo jet safely returned to Miami. I'm Jackie Quinn.
Kids dressed as animals could be removed from Oklahoma public schools by animal control under a new bill. It takes aim at a subculture called furries, people who wear costumes and act like cats and dogs. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Redding, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson. And find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Riverfront Playhouse presents The Last 5 Years, written and composed by Jason Robert Brown, directed by Lauren Stanfield with musical director Cheyenne Hara. This musical chronicles the 5-year relationship of a couple with a unique narrative perspective of each character revealing their experiences in opposite chronological order. Tickets available at riverfrontplayhouse.net. Enjoy the score, Reading, and At the Door. The Last 5 Years, January 26th through February 11th at the Riverfront Playhouse, sponsored by this station and other amazing sponsors.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
Join Token's radio show every Sunday at 2 p.m. on 96.5 FM and AM 1460 as host Christy Matthews and Linda Kent explore the exciting world of cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. Learn how Bitcoin is revolutionizing finance and grasp sound money principles. Hear new perspectives on achieving financial freedom beyond broken institutions. The future of money is here. Empower yourself with knowledge. Listen to Token's radio show with Linda and Christy this Sunday at 2 p.m. on KCNR. Big and exciting changes are underway.
Funds, just like Elizabeth Warren's papaw, because, you know, all the Cherokees have high cheekbones. I learned that from Elizabeth Warren. That's when she was a Cherokee. She has since given that up and moved on. No longer a Cherokee is she. And Nick Sandman was minding his own business on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial when this crazy, demented, radical leftist came up to him banging a drum, you know. Hi, how are you? Hi, how are you? And Nick Sandman was just, hey, like, here I'm in the big city in Washington, D.C. I'm at the Lincoln Memorial, and I got this, you know, cheekbone guy coming up and banging the drum. And he smiled pleasantly and nodded and was interested in everything that was going on around him and taking it all in. And then the media crucified him and tied him to a chuck wagon and dragged him and threw him off a cliff. It was like Yellowstone. They took him to the train station. And just appalling, absolutely appalling, that whole thing. And then he sued the corrupt news media, which Jeff Wolf is in today for Michael Piercy. Michael Piercy is out today. He's traveling with his family for a family funeral, actually, and had to get out of town a little early because they're driving and the snow was coming and everything. So get out a little early. So Michael Piercy not here today. Jeff Wolf here in his stead. And we're happy to have him. Thank you for being here, Jeff. And he came in the snow. You know, he's undeterred. See? You know, good old-fashioned normal. Jasmine couldn't make it today, and Jane is here on the phones. Jane is here on the phones. She's waving. There she is, waving over there. And we remain at 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625 is our telephone number. And, you know, that means it's absolutely toll-free. But I do love that Trayon White. Trayon is... He's a Democrat. He's an elected official in the capital of the United States of America, a Democrat in good standing. He believes the Jews, in particular one family, the Rothschild family, they control the weather. They make it snow because they're taking over. That's what they're doing. They're taking over. And that's perfectly fine in the Democrat Party. You know, he might have been a leading indicator, Jeff, don't you think? It's possible that because now the Democrat Party is completely out of the closet as anti-Semites. And did you see the second gentleman? I like to call him the second gentleman. We got the first lady down at the White House. And at the vice president's residence, the poor guy married to Kamala Harris, Doug Emhoff is his name, Doug Emhoff. And he's Jewish, as it turns out. He was in Davos, because they're all in Davos, you know, and they all take a hot tub together in Davos. And you don't want to know the rest, but there's a lot of motion going on in there. The second gentleman, Doug Emhoff, he's talking about how he was shocked, I say, to learn how all these people that he thought were his friends are actually anti-Semites and hate him. And it was kind of interesting, the Doug Emhoff speech. A lot of interesting speeches at the Davos gathering. Honestly, I heard on my great friend Vince Colonese's radio broadcast, an excellent radio show from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m., on WML, Monday through Friday. And I heard great stuff on his show yesterday, which I think I'm going to have to emulate, borrow from, poach, steal. And it's some great audio from the president of the Heritage Foundation here in Washington was in Davos, and he gave him a bit of what for, I'll tell you, about, well, if Donald Trump is elected president, they're all in some kind of a flop sweat transgender panic about this. Donald Trump being elected. He was already president for 4 years. What was it? I know you didn't like the tweets. Some of the tweets you didn't like, but the border, no war in Europe, no war in the Middle East, $1.87 a gallon gas, remember that? Carjackings were not as common as puffy clouds, and it was a better time, a simpler time, a more prosperous time, a more peaceful time. And then the Democrats came in, and they do what they always do. Now, you know, the crime rate is up and the economy's down, right? New York, New York, it's a hell of a town. The crime rate is up and the economy's down. And it's nationwide. And Washington, D.C., the carjackings, I think we have more carjackings. We had more carjackings last year than we have teenagers, I think, which is kind of remarkable. And it turns out, I conducted a study. It was kind of a casual, non-scientific study. Every single carjacker is a Democrat. It's extraordinary, isn't it? And almost everybody they carjacked is a Democrat because there are almost no Republicans in Washington, D.C., so it's hard to find a Republican voter to carjack in Washington. So carjackers know that they're carjacking other Democrats. And all the carjackers are Democrats. And they all come from Democrat families. Because you've got to keep in mind, the problem is not our guns, it's your sons. That is a clever saying, isn't it? That's a good saying. Everybody should have, maybe we should have t-shirts with that. Oh, speaking of which, there's a hilarious story in the Washington Post today. It finally made it into the hard copy of the paper. It was online for the Washington Post weeks ago, and it finally made it into the paper today. But they're excited that they've got a transgender, it's transgender and guns. Now, how many transgender mass shootings have there been lately? There have been a bunch. Colorado at that Club Q, and then another young woman, that was Colorado Springs, then another young woman in Colorado nerked out her brother because he was about to go on a mass school shooting, right? And then, where was it? Yeah, the Nashville school shooting, that was a transgender. I mean, there are only like nine of them, and I think three have been mass shooters so far, but never mind that. The Washington Post in the A sectional, they have the A sectional and they have the Metro sectional. Trans gun owner teaches queer people how to arm themselves. So you got that going for you. So expect more of the, you know, school shootings and club shootings and things like, cause here we go. And there's a picture of the guy. You can tell from satellite photos that he's a grown man, somewhat overweight. And, obviously, you know, there's no mistaking this guy. I'm a woman. No, your hair is long, but that's about it. And they're very proud. The Washington Post is very excited. Like similar firearm groups. Wouldn't that be firearms groups? But like similar firearm groups, Rainbow Reload. It's called Rainbow Reload. That's what it calls. Has seen an uptick. They always abuse the word uptick in the news media. They don't know what it means. They use the words, but they don't know what they mean. Uptick in interest in recent years as the LGBTQ plus community comes under threat, which is false. That's simply untrue. In fact, if you're, you know, normal, like what they call cisgender, which is another non-word that they've ginned up to make themselves feel something, if you're a cisgender, you're four times as likely to be murdered. Rather than being transgender, if you're transgender, you're much less likely to be murdered. Never mind that. If you are transgender and you're murdered, the overwhelming likelihood is that someone that you're actually involved with sexually is going to murder you, not some stranger or some anti-trans person. It's somebody that you pal around with. But never mind that. Yeah, so trans gun owner teaches queer people. Remember just, it was weeks ago, that queer was a slur. Now it's a preferred term, isn't it? In fact, you got LGBTQQ. They got two. Queer and questioning. IAA plus pound sign dash. So we got that. Yeah, and they're very excited at the Washington Post. I want to share some of that with you as we go forward today. Because that's crazy. So on the one hand, we've got the Democrats with the transgender, and they trans just now means transgender, right? What about transition or transitional or transnational or trans? There, you know, trans is a prefix that's used in a great many different contexts, but they've co-opted the word and the equal sign and the rainbow and the color purple. And will you people calm down? I mean, honestly. and they've got this, what is the rainbow? They've got, pictures of the rainbow flag with, an M16 on it. I'm not kidding. They've got patches, sewed on your flesh with, a rainbow and an M16 because trans gun owner teaches queer people how to arm themselves because of a myth that the LGBTQ plus community comes under threat. Statistics do not bear that out. But the Washington Post doesn't care about that. Also, the front page of the Washington Post, as is so often the case these days, is an anti-Israel story. Gaza fight rages despite pressure. Well, maybe the terrorists should stop firing rockets, and maybe they should release all the hostages that they're decapitating and torturing to death. But that's not in the Washington Post story because they're not a newspaper. Hostage families doubt tactics. Yeah, the Washington Post found. Sure they did. How many American hostages? Because there are no stories on that. There's no Ted Koppel doing dun, 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 dun. Day 102, America held hostage. None of that. Because now the Democrats are fine with America being held hostage. In fact, we're being held hostage by the Democrats, aren't we? Yes, indeed. Also, the Justice Department came out yesterday with a big report, hundreds and hundreds of pages long, about the Uvalde school shooting from 2022. It's now 2024, and it took them quite some time to come up with this lengthy report, which concluded what everyone knew within about 48 hours of the incident, maybe within 12 hours of the incident, and that is that it was a catastrophic failure by the police in their non-response because they treated it as a hostage situation instead of treating it as what it was, a school shooting situation. But never mind that. The 575-page report, a catalog of confusion and lack of courage. Courage! Courage! That's, if you only had courage. And if you only had a brain. Speaking of Joe Biden, because we got courage over here, and then we got if I only had a brain over here. Joe Biden was on the loose yesterday, and he got a milkshake. He infantilized himself, and not, the whole nation and the news media have infantilized Joe Biden. And it's quite an embarrassment, but he got a milkshake yesterday. And then he said a number of ridiculous things, couple several completely ridiculous things about his son, Bo. And he called on a congresswoman in the crowd who wasn't there. She wasn't there. Hey, where are you? Well, she's in Washington. I don't know why. He's like, I just had my picture taken with her. Well, that's weird because she's hundreds of miles away from here. But it's at least better than what he did last year, a couple of years ago, when he called out a congresswoman in the crowd who had died a month earlier. He needs to go. And now the Washington Post, excuse me, the New York Post is suggesting that maybe Michelle Obama, we've talked about this, maybe Michelle Obama will fill his shoes. And I think she could, too. Pretty sure. And, you know, if you need your car towed, she can do that as well. We're at 888-630-9625.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Freedom is the key to any good relationship. It's about being around each other because you want to be around each other, not because some contract or some inflexible data plan are holding you down. Consumer Cellular knows that a good connection with somebody isn't something you can take for granted. It's something you earn with every bill you send, every fee you don't charge, every charge you don't hide. That's why Consumer Cellular lets you walk away at any time, no feelings hurt. That's why at Consumer Cellular, you only pay for the data you need each month, whether it's 1 gig or a bajillion. So anyway, listener, Consumer Cellular wanted me to ask you, if you're into that kind of thing, you know, freedom, love, having a good time, if maybe you wanted to go steady. If you do, check yes or call us. We love talking on the phone. Consumer Cellular, when freedom calls, we're here to answer. Call us at 1-888-FREEDOM.
Do you have an invention idea but don't know what to do next? Call InventHelp today. We have representatives nationwide who will explain the InventHelp process step by step. Over 10,000 patents have been secured through InventHelp's patent referral services. The InventHelp data bank includes thousands of companies who have agreed to review new ideas. We've been helping inventors since 1984. Let's help you next. Get started today.
Call 1-800-217-4380. That's 1-800-217-4380. Again, 1-800-217-4380.
Hey, is this line secure?
Franco's cybersecurity firm secured a contract, and that's all we're allowed to say.
We have a green light on hiring.
He needs web security professionals with a military background.
3 teams of 4, 24-hour rotations, but Protocol Zulu is on a need-to-know basis.
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from the Indeed dashboard, so you can stay organized and connected all the way to the hire. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
a lot of Kanoli's energy started to bounce back.
She has a lot of puppy moments, and she'll be 14 this summer.
What did these dog parents do for their dogs? They switched to Nature's Blend, a premium freeze-dried raw dog food made by Dr. Marty Goldstein, a veterinarian Forbes magazine called the Miracle Worker. It's the easiest way to support your dog's easy digestion, nourished skin, playful energy, and most importantly, their healthy, full life.
I'm so confident your dog will love it. Your order is back with a 90-day guarantee.
Save up to 54% off Nature's Blend and get a free full-size bag of Tilly's Treasures dog treats. They're best-selling beef liver dog treats while supplies last. Go to drmartypets.com/America or text America to 511-511. Go to drmartypets.com/America or shop in over 2,000 stores nationwide. Use the store locator to find the store closest to you. All pets are unique. Your pet's results can and will vary. Message and data rates may apply. Studies available upon request. Paid for by Dr. Marty Pets. Pets.
Advertisement sponsored by Allied Injury Group, not available in all states. This important message from Allied Injury Group reminds you that if you or someone you love was injured in an accident that wasn't your fault, you deserve financial compensation for your medical expenses, lost wages, pain, and suffering. Don't rely on insurance companies to look out for you. If you haven't spoken to an attorney, call our legal experts now. Work accident, truck accident, collision with an uninsured driver, or a slip and fall. Allied Injury Group has helped clients win hundreds of millions of dollars in damages. They're available 24/7 to take your call and fight for you. Remember, if you or someone you love suffered injuries in an accident that wasn't your fault, like being struck by a drunk driver, a collision with an 18-wheeler, were a victim of workplace negligence or more, get the financial compensation you deserve. Call Allied Injury Group for a free consultation now.
Call 800-781-1815. That's 800-781-1815. Again, 800-781-1815.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9665. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? A man age 50 non-tobacco user can obtain $500,000 of coverage for as little as $110 per month. Level rate for 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rate for 20 years. If you're a smoker, there are great rates available for you as well. Call Term Busters for a quote. 1-800-908-7636. You're probably paying more than you should. Call 1-800-908-7636. Remember, call Term Busters. 1-800-908-7636. Sample rate for preferred non-tobacco rate class. Exam required to qualify.
And we are back. Yes, we are. All right, my cup runneth over once again. I said again. I mean again. And, boy, a lot of moving parts. I'd like to take a phone call. Jeff, why don't we do that? And let's see. We have a great deal to choose from. Let's go. Oh yeah, sure. Let's go to line one, Jeff. Let's go to Robert calling from Waldorf, Maryland. Robert, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Good morning, Chris. I'm calling you this morning to hopefully you can help me clarify some stuff I've heard out here where 26 Republicans voted with the Democrats in the Senate and passed a bill that would allow 5,000 illegals to come into this country every day legally. And I also, and I don't know the number in the House, but I believe it might have been 120 or somewhere voted with the Democrats. Again, they needed Democrat votes to pass this bill to keep the government open. And in this bill, there's work permits for all of these illegals. I mean, is that not the amnesty? Is that not what I'm seeing? I could be wrong, Chris, but I'm calling you to help me out, because I believe that's what I'm staring at. This Senator Langford from Oklahoma unleashed this stuff, and now we know that Mike Johnson ain't no better than McCarthy, which you called that one many years ago. But I mean, is this what I've heard? Am I incorrect in what I'm hearing here?
Well, it is. I can tell you that on the 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 Republicans are, you know, doing the go along to get along thing. The crooks at the Washington Post: stopgap bill delays threat of shutdown until March. Oh boy, all the way till March. You know, our government is completely dysfunctional. It does not work as designed. The Republicans in the House and the new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, really need to take the reins, and they need to learn how to message as a verb and come out and hold a press conference and explain why they're going to shut down the government, because the Democrats are so crooked. But the the Republicans are so inept. Congress on Thursday passed legislation to keep the federal government open into March, approving a third stopgap spending bill. All this drama, it's all a terrible television show. And what's in this ridiculous bill goes on and on. And then we're going to have another crisis in March. It's January. That's 2 months from now.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel has a full-service organization with departments staffed with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is Susan Eastman, financial advisor, Stifel Nicolaus. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Give me a call at 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
The property insurance crisis in California is starting to affect the business insurance property also. 200 to 300% rate increases in business property rates or not writing business insurance at all are becoming the norm. At Siskiyou Insurance, we have over 100 years experience in writing business insurance in the North State. We can help. We live here and care about our community and want to make sure that you keep your business with a local agent that knows our town and supports it every day. And we'll get you the best deal we can. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. Siskiyou Insurance, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Reading School of the Arts presents Disney's The Little Mermaid Jr. at the historic Cascade Theater, January 18th to 21st. This 60-minute musical is full of the songs you know and love from the animated film and the Broadway production. This production by Reading School of the Arts is the only of its kind. Students at the heart of the show, come support students in the arts and prepare to be interchange of guilds.
Tickets available now at CascadeTheater.org. That's Cascade, T-H-E-A-T-R-E.org. This production of The Little Mermaid Jr. is presented with special permission by Music Theater International.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Hey, what's going on, Redding, California? This is Tony Horde with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Be sure and tune in to KCNR on your radio dial Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Living in the North State. Together with my three amazing co-hosts, Rich Howe, Bill Woodford, and Mindy Cochran, we'll be interviewing professionals in the industry and taking your calls to answer all your questions and have a great time doing so. Talk to you then, Redding.
This is Elle. Join me and my good friend and co-host Ron Lim and Lenny Matthews for our show Ask Elle right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. we'll be exploring powerful topics on how to have a successful and satisfying relationship. See you here on Tuesday night at 6 p.m. brought to you by KNS Staffing Solutions.
530-605-4517.
When it comes to dinner, you're looking for tasty, flavor, ample portions, choices, and great value in a cozy, clean, family-friendly environment. Guests tell us our home-style dinners deliver on all counts. Whether you choose chicken fried steak, house-made meatloaf, roasted turkey, or slow-cooked pot roast, you'll be full and satisfied in the best way possible. So make Black Bear Diner your January comfort dinner destination. Open daily at 2605 Hilltop Drive, Redding.
Black Bear Diner.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
I don't celebrate the fact that we live in corrupt times. The key to the proper function of our republic is a legitimate fourth estate, an honest fourth estate, the news media, that the genius founders of our great nation knew would be the ultimate check in our system of checks and balances, but the Democrats have been corrupting the Fourth Estate for decades now, and they've pretty well sealed the deal. You know, it's a merger of state and corporate power, the Democrat Party and the media, social media. It's why they were in such a panic when Elon Musk bought Twitter, because they need that to control the daily narrative, and he was having none of that. So you know, that's why he's got to have a lot of security people around him at all times, because, you know, Democrat Party's awfully violent as well. All the riots and the looting and the arson and the attacks on courthouses and police stations and state capitals and, you know, of course, all the carjackings and the shootings. We had the highest, the largest number of murders in Washington, D.C. last year that we've had in more than a quarter century. And dare I say, every single murderer was a Democrat. I don't, if there were a single MAGA hat-wearing Republican that had murdered somebody last year, every household in America would be acutely aware of the story because they'd pound it home. Now this ridiculous stopgap. Oh, boy, and the Washington Post excited. Oh, good, we've got 2 months of funding. This is a completely dysfunctional federal government. The Democrats, the lizard king, you know, Chuck Schumer. See his lizard tongue the other day? He's got this, like, creepy cartoon smile that looks like the Joker, and he got the lizard tongue all over the place, and he is a creepy man, isn't he? And they know that they own the media. Whatever they do, they could shoot everybody in the middle of Fifth Avenue, and they wouldn't lose a single vote in the news media. It's extraordinary stuff. So they came up with this ridiculous bill for 2 months, because we bump around from crisis to crisis, and they're all fake. They're all fake crises, because that's what politics is. Politics, and I've talked about this a lot, is a terrible cable television show. Our entire political system has now been reduced to a cable television show. And they half of them don't want to be in politics. They don't want to lead. They don't want to make things better. They want to be on television. Tragic as that is, but 26, I'm just telling you, it goes on and on. And the Republicans, any Republican that votes for this stuff, and the Speaker of the House and in the Senate, come on, man up a little bit. Even if you're a woman, man up, because this is out of control. Our government is out of control. The spending is, we're at $34 trillion in debt. If we started paying off the national debt today, $1 a second, which we're not doing, if we were paying it down at a rate of $1 a second, it would take us well over 1 million years to pay it off. That's not a joke. That's real math. Sorry, that was my Joe Biden quote. That's no joke. That's real math. And, boy, I'm telling you, it's an embarrassment to our system of government, to our republic. An absolute disgrace. And the news media, of course, corrupt as they are. For the fourth time in a year, more House Democrats than Republicans voted to avert a fiscal disaster. It's not a fiscal disaster. The fiscal disaster is the $34 trillion debt. That was not averted. Even though the GOP controls the chamber. That's because it's a bad bill. See, the House passed the bill to avert a government shutdown for a few weeks, sending it to Biden's desk. Well, the Senate voted on it too. And that's controlled by the Democrats, see? More Democrats than Republicans voted for it, the fourth time this has happened for must-pass bills. Despite controlling the House, GOP leaders have consistently had to rely on Democrat votes. That's the Business Insider. The news media is the most corrupt institution in the United States of America. We need truth tellers, but we do not get them. An angry Congressman, Republican Chip Roy of Texas, declared, "It does not matter who's sitting in the speaker's seat or who's holding the majority. We keep doing the same stupid stuff." And Chip Roy is right about that. This instance, Chip Roy is 100% right. The short-term funding bill, negotiated in part by House Speaker Mike Johnson, passed 344 to 108 with 207 Democrats and 107 Republicans voting for it. See how the media pits the parties against one another? And they don't take up the actual issues. The 106 Republicans have voted against it. Well, just two Democrats voted against it, which means it's a terrible bill. If all but two Democrats voted, the two Democrats are doubtless communists who wanted the provision where they'd surround the Capitol with babies on pikes, and they didn't get it, so they voted against it. That's just a hypothetical. But that's honestly, it's this legislation, our system of running our government is a complete disgrace. Torn between mainstream members and hardliners who hope to enact sweeping right-wing policy changes. You mean some fiscal restraint? Because we're $34 trillion in debt and it would take us more than a million years to pay it off? Is that the extreme right-wing position? Is that what we're talking about? Yes, it is. You wouldn't want to take control of spending in the United States because we live in an imaginary world. You know, they sell magic mushrooms in stores in Washington, D.C. now. Do you know this, Jeff? Have you ever bought any magic mushrooms in stores? You can walk into stores and buy marijuana, pot, over the counter in Washington, D.C. And there are pot stores where you can buy magic mushrooms, hallucinogenic drugs. And that might explain a lot, honestly. Just extraordinary stuff. And it's so filled with bad things. And then the media is excited because we have weeks until the next fake made-for-cable television crisis, which isn't a crisis. It's corruption. That's what it is. The right word is not crisis. It's corruption. Because our embarrassing Congress cannot do the job that our Congress is supposed to do. Am I right? Yes, it is. Dun, dun, dun. I am telling you. Yes, I am. All right. So many things to get to, and I have a lot of audio for you today, too. And there are so many wackadoodle stories because, oh, Joe Biden, speaking of corruption. Joe Biden has a new, and the Democrats have a new, buy your vote program being spit out of Capitol Hill. And, oh, this is probably just the White House because they do everything by executive order. They don't believe in branches of government or anything like that. They're the left. They are dictatorial. They are authoritarian. They prefer the executive order to the legislative branch. They don't like that at all. But 74,000 student loan borrowers, they're student loan borrowers. They borrowed money for student loans. And now they don't have to pay it back because middle-class people in Indiana who work as plumbers and truck drivers are going to pay off the Harvard loans of Democrats while they lick each other's boots. 74,000 student loan borrowers are getting $5 billion in debt wiped out in Biden's latest batch of repayment reforms. That's what the Business Insider calls this buying votes with cash thing. They call it repayment reforms. Don't repay your loans. Why? Hunter Biden doesn't repay his loans. Why would you repay your loans? More student loan borrowers are on track to get debt relief following President Biden's repayment reforms. They're not reforms, and it's buying votes. It's an election year, and the media should probably start noticing what's going on, but they're filthy, corrupt people. That's one of the big problems we have. And who is this? Avalette Sheffy. Typing for the Democrat Party at the Business Insider. More student loan borrowers are on track to get debt relief following President Biden's repayment reforms. On Friday, that's today, Biden announced that his administration approved another 74,000 borrowers, maybe in key swing states, for $5 billion in debt relief. It adds to the thousands of borrowers who have already benefited from the Education Department's one-time account adjustment. It's called an account adjustment. They're buying votes with our tax dollars. Why would we pay off anybody's student debt? We should force colleges to hand over their endowments. Let's send troops to Harvard to take away their, what do they have, $60 billion in endowments, and we're paying off the loans of Harvard grads because, you know, Jeff, you're a billionaire, right? So you're paying off, he says, so you're paying off student debt for people that went to Harvard and went to George Washington University, which is now the most expensive university in the United States of America. And you're paying off these debts. And the reality is, of course, nobody's paying them off because we just add it to our ever-expanding $34 trillion national debt. And nobody even talks about it because the filthies in the news media. So $5 billion, they call it debt relief. and thousands have already benefited from other people's money in exchange for voting for the Democrats. Just extraordinary. And the Department of Health and Human Services, and it's the borrowers in the Public Service Loan Forgiveness. It's a limited time waiver. Isn't that amazing? Of the 74,000 borrowers approved for relief today, nearly 44,000 of them are teachers, nurses, firefighters. Don't believe it. 2 years from now, somebody in conservative media will do a story and we'll learn that none of that is true. That, oh, did we say 44,000? We meant 44. Not 44,000. And other individuals who earned forgiveness after 10 years of public service. Well, you're out of college 10 years and you're still paying off your student loans. Maybe the crooks that run our colleges are charging too much. And wait a minute, you went to college and you're a firefighter. Is that what you're trying to tell me here? So you graduated from college. Did you major in firefighting in college? Just amazing, amazing stuff. And close to 33,000 of them are people who have been in repayment for at least 20 years. You're paying off your student loans for 20 years. College is corrupt. You know why it's corrupt? Because it's run by leftists. And Joe Biden is a sock puppet for leftists. He has no idea what's going on around him. And he said some really dumb stuff yesterday. Again, calling out a woman in the crowd, a member of Congress. Hey, I just had my picture taken with you. Where are you? She was hundreds of miles away in Washington. He did not just have his picture taken with her. The man is impaired. He's severely impaired. Let's be honest. And I've got that audio for you coming up as well. This is crime. Buying votes. Student loan forgiveness. In Chicago, they used to call it walking around money. Democrats go around and put cash in people's pockets, stuff a few bills into somebody's hand to make sure they voted for your guy. They've taken that national, and now they're doing it with billions and billions of our dollars, taxpayer dollars, that will never be repaid, according to the Democrats' plan. And if Republicans in the House of Representatives want to get some control over our spending, then the news media makes sure that they are the villains of the story. If you're 20, you're already bankrupt. Thanks for picking up the tab, suckers.
There's only one Chris Plant, The Chris Plant Show.
Hey, it's Chris Plant. Let's talk about something that's on the minds of a whole lot of our listeners, dealing with overwhelming credit card debt. If you're feeling like it's a financial nightmare for you, I've got some good news. If you're facing $10,000, $20,000, even $30,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or other unsecured debt, there are programs available that can help you consolidate those debts into one single reduced payment that you can afford. When you qualify, Accredited Debt Relief is on a mission to help you become debt-free in just 24 to 48 months. They've already helped more than 300,000 qualified consumers, hardworking Americans just like you, helped them pay off more than $3 billion in debt, earning them an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. So call Accredited Debt Relief now for your free no-obligation savings estimate and let them help you take control of your financial destiny. Call 800-820-3131. That's 800-820-3131. 800-820-3131. Program and services not available in all states.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
You know, it's true. Difficult times have a way of focusing us. We have to think about what matters most when it comes to our spending, our health care. This is why so many people are joining MediShare right now. MediShare is a trusted way to save up to 50% on your monthly health care costs. More than 400,000 people have already made the switch, especially now during this challenging season with health care costs and out-of-pocket expenses going up. MediShare can save you a lot of money. The typical family saves $500 a month. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. There are different options to choose from to fit your budget. I'll give you the number here in a second. And if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Maybe now is the perfect time to make the switch and start saving. Here you go. Call 855-51-BIBLE. That's 855-51-BIBLE. 855-51-BIBLE.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? A man age 50 non-tobacco user can obtain $500,000 of coverage for as little as $110 per month. Level rate for 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rate for 20 years. If you're a smoker, there are great rates available for you as well. Call Term Busters for a quote. 1-800-908-7636. You're probably paying more than you should. Call 1-800-908-7636. Remember, call Term Busters. 1-800-908-7636. Sample rate for preferred non-tobacco rate class. Exam required to qualify.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? We can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents or having to waste time showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your house to foreclosure. If you have equity in your home, we'll buy your home and give you cash within days. All in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call now before your situation gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just need anymore and get the cash you need today. Call this number now.
Call 800-527-4903. That's 800-527-4903. 800-527-4903. Again, 800-527-4903.
Paid for by Airtime Media.
Our free 2024 Gold Investment Guide isn't just a collection of tips. It's a treasure map to possible wealth in a shifting economy. We've distilled expertise and insights into this comprehensive guide tailored for both newcomers and veteran investors. Ride the wave of gold to unprecedented heights. Call Advantage Gold now at 800-900-8000 for your free guide. Call 800-900-8000 now.
Message and data rates may apply.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now, and drive off as early as today. Just text APPLY NOW to 88909 right now to get started. That's APPLY NOW to 88909. Auto financing the easy way. Text APPLY NOW to 88909.
And Democrat Congresswoman Barbara Lee is a racist and she hates America. That's understatement, both of those. And she said some crazy stuff on CNN I want to share with you, Stu. Those terrible white people. And she makes up stories. She lives in a crazy place. And she's, in perfectly good standing with the Democrat Party in Congress because half of them are completely out of their minds. And they lie all the time. And they got this race issue and the gender issue and the sexuality issue. And the money issue. They got a lot of issues. Let's be honest. Somebody up there has to start telling the truth. I'd like to see the Speaker of the House take that role. All right, let's go to the telephones. Jeff, let's go to Ed calling from Charleston, South Carolina. Eduardo, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hi, Chris. You were talking a while back about the lizard king that we have in the U.S. Senate. Well, just want to let you know, and this is no hoax, this is no joke, there is a wildlife invasive lizard species that are very large, and they've been found in South Carolina. They can grow up to 4 feet long, and they typically eat other reptiles, blah, blah, blah. And they also carry salmonella. The Department of Natural Resources of South Carolina said they had received over 100 reports of the South American tegu lizards.
Uh-huh.
And so we have, yeah, we have not only unbelievably terrible lizards in the Senate, yeah, they're coming to South Carolina, apparently.
You're right, yeah. Tegu lizards, T-E-G-U, tegu lizards, and they can be up to 5 feet long, and they're gigantic lizards. And this is, you know, I blame the Democrats, Ed. This is clearly another, I think it's probably an open border issue. And these huge black and white lizards, which is racist, are taking over South Carolina, according to multiple headlines. And honestly, we're turning into a third world country. I think this is just part of becoming a third world country. And the left paying off student debt with billions and billions of our dollars. And the news media says, yeah, isn't this great? The Secretary of Education, Miguel Cardona, a commie, says this level of debt relief is unparalleled, and they have no intention of slowing down. No intention of slowing down. Billions and billions more they're buying.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.